Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
For your transgression, you receive the atomic boot to the ass!
Thud!
Oh boy, that sounded bad.
I've fallen and I can't get up!
Jesus is the devil! All right! Traverse the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women, old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the broad. Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with King Shaziz the Terrible, and I've got two of our honorable knights on here. I got Cultus and Thomas. How you doing, guys?
Very well, thanks, Matt. And I believe Thomas has just slipped away for a bit, but we have been. Oh,
no, I'm back.
Oh, you're back now.
Yeah, I typed back in there.
I'm in the wrong. Yeah, right.
Before the show, Cultus. You were mentioned you had a little bit of a bad deal go on, and so this reason why Dame Shannon wasn't able to come on here today. You care to tell folks what's going on?
Oh, no, we'll just keep that private for the moment because we don't know if, you know, they want that shit.
Okay.
Yeah, if people can just, you know, keep Dame Shannon's family in mind today, and you know, maybe throw
some
a prayer,
some positive thoughts,
or some prayers, whichever you find is your deal there.
Yeah, just, there you go.
Yeah, I find prayer to be a positive thought. So
yeah, well, you know, some people don't go for the prayer, some people don't go for the positive thought and go for the prayer. So whichever's your go, please put it out there for Shannon and her family today. There's been a bit of a
they definitely need it.
A tragedy would be the word. It's not immediate family, but very close. So yeah, if you just keep them in your thoughts, it would be much appreciated.
Yeah, just want to make sure that people knew, you know, there's something going on is the reason why she wasn't able to come on here today. So everybody send your love to her, you know. That's the easiest. Both of
exactly.
us can agree. Everyone can agree on sending your love. Am I wrong? Anyway, you know, there's so much going on in the world today, man. There's so many different things that need to be addressed, so many different solutions, and, you know, things that... I believe that the Knights of the Round Table are trying to accomplish, you know, finding solutions to problems all around the world. And what I'd like to see, and we actually do have, is more knights in more nations. I mean, we've got people in Australia, we've got people in Scotland and Ireland, we've got people in, where else, Cultus? Yeah.
Sorry, mate, I just blanked on you.
Yeah,
sorry.
Muted the mic. Anyway, we got Spain. Anyway, there's just so much going on in the world, man. So many things that need to be addressed. But I'm saying the Knights is a good cause. You know, it's to me, it's a you know. If you got a neighbor, you know, like I may not be able to help your neighbor out, but you're right there, you know. If somebody makes me aware that something's going on in the world, then, you know, I could check and see who's in that neighborhood and see who can lend them some hand. What do you think? Man, that's dead air again. You're killing me.
Come on, Tom. Hey, help me out of here, man.
You guys had your coffee yet?
you aware that I was still in a zombie state.
Alright, well, while these guys are getting out of zombie state, there's a couple things that I'd like to mention.
You don't need our confirmation for the truth of that. I mean, that's true, and everybody knows that, man.
Yeah.
You know, you get by in this world without welfare and subsidies by being virtuous, because somebody who's a kind-hearted person that comes by and helps you out ever since you met them, if they fall on some hard times, you're not going to just let them, you know, and disappear through the cracks.
No, but I'm just saying, it's good to have that network connection between friends from all different nations and states and stuff like that. And so with that said...
And you know what kills that? You know what destroys that?
What's that?
The government getting in the middle of it and trying to force it.
Oh, yeah, you know...
The government gets in the middle of it and says, you have to have this, you have to have this, and if you don't have it, we're going to take a gun and shove it to your head. And then we're going to drag you off and throw you in these rooms they call prisons, but really they're rape rooms.
They scare
people with it. And always results in the opposite effect of what they're claiming they're trying to do. People get disconnected. They don't care about each other. And now here we are talking about it because nobody's using it enough like they should, because the government has gotten away and basically ruined it.
Well, prime example,
forget them, you know, forget them.
Yeah, prime example
of
the government being a third party mediator in everything, basically having their hands in on it. Somebody's echoing me back. Anyway, if you just look at stores themselves, you could buy direct from a factory and you could save a lot of money and have a lot of extra money to spend on whatever, but there's a third party involved in there, and so by the time that they buy it in bulk from the factories or whatever, then by the time you get it, you done paid a 300% markup, and essentially that's what the government services are on the American people and the people of the world, is a government markup. And you know, so with that said, it's about time.
No, it's a little worse than that. You buy from a store and they're gouging you for transport, storing it away locally so that you can get it without paying, you know, exorbitant fees to just to have a couple little things shipped to you. You can always go to somebody else, but with the government, they've got a monopoly on the violence.
Oh, yeah, well, they all...
They're allowed to be violent, they're allowed to do things, but you're not.
I
don't have anyone else to go to give you a better deal. There's no competition.
Yeah, they got the monopoly on that.
They want.
I also failed to mention that not only do you pay that 300% markup, but you also pay for the doggone taxes, too, that the government milks out of every sale and purchase.
Oh, yeah.
So
there is no such thing as a corporation. There's a bunch of people who, when they get pressed, whenever they get, pressed on to give something, like, you know, the government puts taxes and whatnot on them, they don't end up paying that. They pass that on to you, and you end up paying it, you know?
Yeah. Well, anyway...
They use that as an excuse whenever they're not paying it, too. You do know that. That's why, when they say, oh, there's a trickle-down. No, of course not. Because they found out they can use that as an excuse. If they didn't have that excuse, then we lower those prices. Or else, we'll go to somebody else. We don't have to be violent. We can just simply not participate and work with somebody else.
Exactly. It all comes down to being a choice, doesn't it? And we can choose to feed the evil monster, or we can choose to starve it to death, really. At the end of the day, it's up to us.
Right.
Yeah, and with
that choice from government.
With that said, there's individuals out there that are basically, we're in all different nations. Two examples would be, one would be Ireland, where they're going back through old laws to get back to the roots of their sovereignty, and also in the United States, where folks are trying to point out certain laws to get back to what America was to begin with. There's I believe it's called the Act of 1871. There's a really passionate lady on YouTube, and I invited her on the show, but so far I haven't heard from her this morning or whatever. But, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that just feel like they ain't got a voice, you know, and they need to be heard. Well, what we're trying to do here at the Knights of the Round Table is give you that platform to be heard. So, you know, feel free to call in and join in, be one of the Knights of the Round Table, or you're just an honorary knight just for even showing up in the chat room. But I've said this a million times. It's never, you're never going to get any results if you try to change the attitudes of the government. You know, sure, you can vote them out of office or threaten to vote them out of office, and they might do a few things for a while, but nine times out of ten, they go back to their own dirty ways. And the only way around that is we, the people, taking care of ourselves like we should have been doing a long time ago. What do you guys think?
That's right. It's all about responsibility. Stop shucking the responsibility off on someone else.
Exactly.
You don't want the government spending a fortune on roads and paying, you know, basically arranging so that, you know, road workers can't be fired. So they're going to be lazy. They're going to still, three of them watching one guy work while they take turns of that one guy being the one working so they can get more money out of every mile of road. How to build a road. It's not that hard.
When you drive down the road and you see that construction crew and only one guy's got a shovel and the rest of the guys standing around having a smoke, you know, hey, what's going on there? You know, these guys, they get paid a pretty good penny to stand around, you know? Get in there and do the job and get it done. Yeah, too big to fail.
Yeah, let's cut their jobs out and, you know, not have roads they have to come and work on them. We can tell the government, you know what, you don't need our tax dollars for roads because we'll fix them ourselves.
Yeah, we'll hire private contractors to go in there and do it because they'll probably do a better job anyway because they know that if they don't do a good job, we won't get them back.
There is that. That's right.
So anyway,
and they won't get to somebody else because, I mean, word of mouth is very powerful.
Yeah.
Hey, you got that repaired. Who'd you use to do that? That's a pretty good road. Or, you know, oh, God, that road looks terrible. Who did that? I want to make sure I don't hire them, you know?
Yeah, that's the key. And believe it or not, you know, when we keep on saying that the power to the people or we the people are the power, essentially we are, but we ain't exercising that right. We're not exercising that power because I keep going back to this little video that I saw called The Dots. You know, there's a little tiny group of dots, and they're telling this massive amount of dots what to do and what they can't do, what to eat, and, you know, what to say or not say. And for some strange reason, all this mass amount of tiny dots are following this little tiny group of dots and, you know, basically going off the cliff as far as I'm concerned. And so, with that said, there's networks like Awake Radio and No Borders and We Roar and all the other networks out there that are coming online, this is what it's going to take, you know, empowering one another to know that there's other options besides, you know, calling the law on your doggone neighbor because his grass is too high, that kind of jazz, you know what I mean?
Right.
But
they're engineering, and farming those people, those dots. You've got the small group of dots that are basically farming the large group of dots. So they're not people that can help out. They're product.
Yeah, they had a
so
big.
So they're going to do everything they can to keep them in that position. You know,
they had a big smile on their face and some candy bars and let everybody into the corral and gave them a candy bar or two, you know, never mind the fact that that candy bar probably didn't have very many healthy ingredients in it. You know, hey, you know, we just keep these guys dumb and they'll follow us around as long as we got candy. And essentially, that's what the system is, you know. Hey, the government's going to give me a free phone. Yay! So you run over there and get your free phone.
They also say they offer the free candy, but they also say, hey, you got to watch out for those guys over there.
I'm in the van. Now, where's my candy?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say they've got two, you know, let's go with the van analogy. You got the kids running, you know, running around playing and whatnot. You come out and say, hey, somebody's out here trying to kidnap you guys. You better hurry up and jump in the van.
Well,
what do they do? They kidnap the kids.
Well, the three of us.
They came by to save you from the kidnappers.
Picture this. Picture this, there's like a herd of sheep, right? And they're standing outside this cave, and it's cold outside, and this wolf was standing there, and he's telling everybody, come on in the cave, you know, I'll keep you warm, and there'll be food and everything, you know. And the three of us are kind of like standing in their background telling everybody, hey, you know, you might want to like think really serious before you go up in that cave, because he did say he was going to give you food. I mean, he did say there was going to be food, but he didn't say who was going to be eaten. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be plenty of food.
I believe that's the old movie where To Serve Man.
Yeah.
They got a big book that says To Serve Man. Finally get translated. It turns out that it's a cookbook for cooking man up.
Yeah. Well, don't everybody run to the mic at once. I wouldn't want anybody to chip a tooth or anything.
Sorry, man. Sorry. You know me. Like, I'm being the, like, social media guy.
Oh, okay. He was busy in the background. Yeah. Anyway.
Doing what I do best.
Anyway, yeah, I'm really hoping that we can get Carol to join us on the Knights of the Round Table, because I can hear the passion in her voice. She really wants to try to make a difference in the world, but, you know, she put out a few videos and actually made some calls to congressmen and stuff like that, but doesn't seem to be able to get any kind of results. And so maybe, you know, together all of us can figure out some sort of solution to actually get that word out there, because you talk about the Act of 1871. How many Americans even know that even exists? And on a platform such as YouTube, you know, you don't necessarily get your views like you're supposed to. Now, if you go out there on YouTube and you got some sort of crazy, perverted, twisted mind, you can get thousands and millions of views, you know. Or if you look like a kitten, you can get all kinds of views out of that deal. But anything that really seriously matters, like how-tos, you know, they're always talking about, they just said yesterday, they were talking about on the news how there was this terrorist attack on the power grid. Some lone gunman went out and shot up some transformers and shut down a bunch of people's power. Well, on one hand, they want to call everybody tinfoil hat wearing knucklehead conspiracy theorist because they decide that things in the world ain't looking good, and they might want to start stocking up a few things, you know, some food and extra supplies. But then on the other hand, they're sitting there telling you how the power company ain't even backing up the doggone power grid for just such an emergency as some knucklehead shooting out the doggone transformer, or maybe an EMP from the sun or whatever. So if the power grid is
you don't even need that. It could be something as simple as just a good ice storm, you know?
Yeah.
Knock you out of power for a month.
I've even seen snowstorms do it.
We saw that a couple of years ago. Yeah, we had that a couple of years ago here. You know, the power went out. They came around and started fixing everybody's power. We got hit by a second dose of freezing rain, and it knocked the power right back out. And all the people who basically got their power turned back during that first blowout were stuck waiting for everyone else in Oklahoma to basically get their power turned back on. So there were people here that were without power for over a month that second run.
And in wintertime, that's dangerous, man. I mean, not only the fact that you're gonna your pipes in your house will freeze up and break. You got you freeze to death.
Well, I was gonna say if you're running gas to heat your house, let me ask you this: what's your thermostat run on? What are the fans that blow the air around the house that force the air throughout the house run on?
Electricity.
Exactly. So you're still out in the cold, man.
Yeah, and so, you know,
what are you going to do? Get a propane heater and smoke yourself out in the house, you know? Suffocate yourself?
The average Joe out there takes for granted whenever they walk over and flip the light switch on, like, you know, hey, you know, I got lights, everything's cool. They go to the water spigot, they turn the water on, everything's cool, I got water, you know, I ain't got no problems. And they don't think about those incidents like you're talking about, an ice storm or a snowstorm taking down power lines or whatever. You know, if the power lines ever went down permanently and there was no way to get them back up outside of, you know, maybe building a whole new system, it would take possibly months to years before you could ever get it back, power back on to everybody. And so, to me...
You were talking about them not back up or, you know, doing their part to basically maintain that system. Hawaii has that problem. They're trying to call people who put up solar cells and wind free riders on the system if they connect to the. And their reasoning is our system is kind of weak and old and can't handle that extra load.
Well, if
it can't handle that extra load, then what's it going to do the first time there's a wind comes through that puts some extra load by knocking a couple nodes out?
Yeah, and that and the fact...
Fix that thing. You're being paid.
That and the fact that you know they're making a whole lot of money. I know for a fact that the power companies aren't poor. I mean, they get government subsidies, plus they get our money, and our utilities aren't going down. Everybody knows that. They're not going down. They're continuously going up.
Right. You just nailed it. The government subsidies. You know what the subsidies are? That is charity for somebody who's been an asshole. I don't know if I can say that on the air, but, you know, it's been a jerk. They're okay being a jerk because they're still taken care of. They don't have to be virtuous. They don't have to be a good guy.
Well,
that's ultimately what I'm saying. And if you take that away, so that if they're not nice, if they don't treat people right, if they don't take care of them, they don't get paid, they don't get taken care of themselves, then they're going to be, you know, they're going to take care of people. Do it. Even the people who basically don't care about other people, they're still going to do it in order to keep, you know, from being let down whenever they have a problem.
We made it
okay to be a jerk.
Therein lies the problem, because the average Joe is in an abusive relationship with the government. The government is abusing the average Joe on a regular basis. And yet the average Joe is not standing up for themselves because, you know, I don't want to step out of line because the government is sending the IRS on me. Or I don't want to step out of line because the jackbooted militarized cops have kicked my door in. You know, so I just want to go with the flow, do what I got to do, and survive, you know. But we got to come to an understanding at some point, you know, that relationship's not working out. You know, and I'm not advocating we all go out there and overthrow the government. I'm advocating we all just get up and walk away from the system. You know,
right? Well, I was gonna say I kind of pointed this out some time ago. They everybody goes on about the hood on the neck and, you know, the left and the right and all that, but what they keep is that jackboot is not there to hold you down. It's there to crush you like a grape. They're making wine.
Yep.
Okay.
Well,
their ultimate goal is to extract everything they can from you, and they do not care. They will destroy. Don't care. They don't.
Well, then, with that
they don't
said,
see you. You're a number.
With that said, and the lack of common sense that I hear on a regular basis, I mean, there's so many things out there that we could be doing, you know, as a, you know, world community to fix problems around the world. But every time there's something comes up, you know. You check with your local government. Like right now, there's I got contacted by a person in Gaza that was telling me that they need school books for the children over there. They need paper. They need pencils. They need you know, supplies. And in order to get anything over there, so I can't just send money over to Gaza and them be able to buy the school supplies, or I can't just send books over there. I have to go through Israel before I can go. Get them into the Gaza Strip, into the schools. And so, you know, it doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on. Whether you think Israel's right or whether you think Gaza's right, there are some people that are in the midst of the whole deal who are innocent parties in the deal. Now, these children over there are children. The children in Israel are children. And then both of them, you know, when you got rockets flying back and forth between the two nations there, and it's tearing up schools and it's tearing up infrastructure, and you got this continuous battle going on forever and ever. It's just there's a lot of losers in that situation, and most generally it's the children losing. I heard a video where the man was asking these two little girls from Palestine, "Do you want peace with Israel?" And the little girls told the man that says, "We never want peace with Israel because they killed our mom and dad." But what I'm trying to point out to folks is this. You know, these two little children will be the future warriors that will someday go, maybe possibly go kill somebody else's mom and dad. So you got to break that chain. You got to break that cycle. And the only way to break that cycle is from the ground up. We've got to get connections to the people on the floor who's tired of being on the floor, and empower them with the things that they need necessary to start taking back their lives. And the same thing in Israel. Not all the Israelis hate all the Palestinians. Not all the Iranians hate the Israelis. You know, it's not a consensus generally across the board of any nation out there that the people hate the guys from the other side. Cultist, you said it many times, and I've said it many times. You and I and the Russians would rather get together and have a barbecue, for Pete's sake, than sit there and send our kids over to shoot one another. What's your thoughts on the matter?
Yeah, no, exactly, mate. That is dead right. We've discussed that many, many times, you know. That, exactly as you just said, you know, I would much rather have a beer and a barbecue with anyone from anywhere in the world, whether that even be, you know, Mr. Obama himself, you know, or, you know.
Yeah,
Anyone, you know, I would rather have a beer and a barbecue than have a fight, you know. And what you were talking about a moment ago with the young girl, you know, how she's grown up in a world where she cannot see anything but hatred towards these people, you know. That's how we discussed there a week or so ago on you know, it's kind of like, you know, two people in a relationship that goes sour and they don't communicate about it. You know, eventually what happens is that they have absolutely no idea what they're fighting about anymore. They're just harboring these emotions.
Yeah.
And instead of talking about them and discussing them, they're fighting about them because they don't remember what the original fight was about. They don't remember the, you know, the 25 different things they've argued about in the last 18 months. They just remember the anguish and the pain instead of resolving it and getting over it and you know, feeling the love again for each other. It's the same with this little girl. She's been brought up in a world where all she's been told is, you know, oh, those people did this, those people did that, you know, hate them, hate them, hate them, hate them, hate them. And, you know, it's like anything else, you know. If you tell someone they're stupid enough times, they'll believe that they're stupid. You tell someone enough times to hate a certain group of people or a certain person, they will eventually begin to hate those people, you know. So we have to break that tie. We have to stand up and say, no, wait a minute. Wait just a second here, because you, the opposing, don't know each other.
Well,
talk it. Talk about it. Work out what is going on. Work out what the original reason was. You don't know what the original reason was? Well, maybe we need to just drop the whole thing and start again. You know? You don't want to kill him, and he doesn't want to kill you, or she doesn't want to kill you, and she doesn't want to kill you. So let's just stop. Bottom line, it doesn't need to be some great big exaggerated fight. Bottom line.
An example of what you're talking about is I'm old enough that back whenever I was growing up, I was taught that the Russians were out to get us, you know. They wanted to destroy America and bring communism. And so, you know, as I'm going through school and I'm hearing all this kind of stuff, I'm thinking, you know, oh, wow, this is a dangerous world we live in. The Russians are behind every bush. You know, nowadays it's a terrorist and anybody can be a terrorist. So, you know, you raise these children up in a world of fear where, you know, they're continuously thinking somebody's freaking out to get them. They start looking at everybody with a skeptical eye. You know, that man's black and there must be something wrong with him, you know. You know, that man's yellow. There must be, I've got to watch out for this guy right here. And the system, by definition, breeds racist ideas from the get-go. And luckily, I myself was able to break that bond of knowing that the Russians weren't out to get me because, you know, things like the internet gave me access to be able to speak to Russians, you know. There's some folks out there that they're just like us. Man, they want the same things we want. They want, you know, to have a family and have a nice home and food and be able to, you know, support themselves. They want the same things we do. And so with that said, and back to the children in the war-torn zones, there's many war-torn zones out there, and there's actually many different places where there are refugees that have fled certain war areas. And these folks out there, they really honestly need our help. You know, there's folks in Africa that need help. There's folks in just about every doggone nation. There's folks in America that need help. There's homeless individuals in America that need help. You know, there might be a few homeless folks that don't want help. You know, they just finally looked at the system and said, you know, hey, I'd rather sleep on the road than have to go through all that. So, you know, I'm just going to do my own thing.
I actually think that it goes a bit deeper than that. And we only spoke about this a couple of weeks ago with, you know, Shannon there was discussing the homeless man that they tried to help, you know. The bottom line for a homeless person who is
truly homeless, we're not talking about some wayward child that just decided they don't want to live at home and listen to the rules. You know, a true homeless person is going to be homeless for a long time unless somebody helps them for a long period of time.
Yeah.
So, one night in the motel room, as nice as that seems, what you're doing for them, they've then got to, after being in a nice warm place and a nice full belly, have to go back to that hellish environment that they originally were in. So it's like I said with my pain meds, you know, I don't take pain meds for my fibromyalgia because at the end of the day, I'm only going to end up, like, I'm going to feel good for a while, but then the pain is going to come back. And that pain's going to come back tenfold because I felt so good for so long, you know, and I did a little bit more and I overexerted myself and... You know, it also
interferes with the system too, and makes the pain meds do two things that I've seen. One is it's the system from doing any kind of repair or restorative work that it would normally do from experiencing the pain and realizing there's a problem. The other thing is that it does something to the receptors in the brain, so that basically you can't the normal natural blockage that you have to resist pain, because our bodies are in pain all the time. Even when you're totally healthy, you're still in pain. But you have endorphin levels that keep that at bay so that you can live a normal life. And when you oversaturate those receptors in the brain, then those endorphins can't do their job. So when you come back off of all this blast of pain meds, now all of a sudden your brain is completely raw to it all, and it can't be blocked.
Yeah, and so essentially,
so essentially,
you're not treating the disease itself. You're just masking the symptoms, and that's exactly what's going on.
That's it.
In the government as well, is that, you know, you throw a few bucks over here, you keep this side of the planet happy. You throw a few bucks over there, you keep that side of the planet happy. Meanwhile, you're sitting on top of the mountain of gold. You know, hey, I'm the king, whatever. But we got to stop masking the symptoms. We got to stop, trying to patch or whatever. We got to start helping one another become empowered to be able to live the lives that everybody deserves. You know, there are solutions out there, and the solutions are going to come from we the people. They're never going to come from the government. So, you know. Well, I applaud those who take the time to go call their senators and congressmen. It's not gonna make no difference, because 9 times out of 10, while you're on the phone with that senator or congressman, they're probably thinking about what time they need to pick up their dry cleaning, or, you know, what time that dinner or lunch starts, and they're just kind of, you know, yeah, that's a pretty terrible thing, and I'll look into it kind of thing, kind of appease whatever they got to say to get you off the phone, and you go down the road feeling all happy, thinking, you know, you just made a difference in the world, but. You know, their track record's not very good. You know, am I wrong?
Not at all.
And so what we need to do is we need to hear people like Carol when she finds the actual law in there that could actually make a difference. You know, there's laws to impeach presidents that are, you know, illegal or doing something illegal. There's so many legal methods by which we could actually change the attitudes of the government by holding their feet to the fire. But it's going to be, like Carol said, it's going to be we the people that literally hold their feet to the fire. And I can understand her frustration, and I can definitely understand her passion, because it's our children that's growing up in there. From what I understand, she's a grandmother, and I'm sure that she wants to save America for her children, you know, be able to grow up in a country such as what she did, you know. Of course, we're not a perfect country. You know, there's nobody out there got the whole thing figured out to where we got our literal heaven on earth / utopia. But it's not going to get any better until we, who are the future founding fathers and mothers and sisters and so on down the line, pave them stepping stones for the next children in line. Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
I'm going to say right now that the reason why those guys are not getting a better track record is because they have people pulling their strings. We've got a massive monster that has got a monopoly going on here that we need to basically address that. Let's look at the root of the future of our children, okay? The disdainful future that they've got coming. They are enslaved. They're even born, they're enslaved. You know how that happens?
This
is the thing. It's not just money, though. It's, we need more money. We got to raise the cap. Okay, let's issue some more treasury bonds, which are basically a debt that our children have to pay off.
Well, yeah.
Where are they coming from? We're paying off a debt that our parents, when they were around, the government issued that debt. Parents, because, you know, they weren't the ones paying for it, and they didn't, they let them get away with it. We're paying an odious debt right now, and we need to stop paying that.
It's kind of.
We need to look at the people who are the debts being paid to, and say, you know what? You gave nothing of value to get this. You don't get paid. Cancel that invoice.
Yeah, it's kind of like the doggone birth certificate scam there, where, you know, essentially your mother signed you into servitude without even realizing what it is that she was really doing. You know, we got to have a paper to say we're alive. Really? Wouldn't it be the same as if I walked up and said, hey, look, I'm here, I must be alive, you know? But no, we got to have a paper behind us. We got to have a Social Security card behind us.
Actually, that's not quite what it is. It's more like that tag they stick on a cow's ear so you know which cow it is.
Well, yeah, but there's...
It's not whether the cow's alive or not. This is more like, we got to know exactly who you are and where you're at, what you're doing, because... What we want from you, we need to know where you're at so we can come and get it.
Yeah,
that's ultimately what it is.
Yeah, but that's the thing. See, the tags come in multiple forms, you know, from driver's license to birth certificates to Social Security cards to thumbprints, bio scanning, and all that kind of stuff. And so if you think you opted out of one tag, there's still another tag out there on you. So they were pretty wise in the system, because they figured there'd be guys like us who said, you know, hey, you know, screw the system. We're tired of this because, you know, they're not doing nothing good for anybody, you know. And so we tried to opt out of the system.
Let's look at the driver's license just as an example and realize that all these other things are like this, okay? The driver's license is to do what? I mean, what does it really do?
Oh, it gives you a permit to travel, according to them. That's what most folks think,
It's more than that, though. How do you get a permit? What do you have to do to get a permit?
You got to show ID.
No.
You got to get a drug. You got to take a test.
Let's go to the root. What was it originally for that I'm talking about?
I don't know. Go ahead and tell me, because
It's a diploma. It's a diploma. It's a diploma to prove that you took the course on how to drive, and therefore you're a safe driver.
A sheepskin.
How did this turn from this proves that I know how to operate my vehicle into this proves who I am?
Yeah, there you go.
How did it get to that? You know, that's the root of it. How did the Social Security card, which is supposed to, you know, say yes, I'm participating by putting my 2 cents in every time I get a check, so if I have a problem, I can come to you guys and get help.
Yeah,
my parents have a problem. They can come and get help. You know, I'm paying that system into this proves that I'm a legal citizen of the United States of America.
Well,
you know, when did it become that?
If you look back in my day, whenever I was first issued a Social Security card, it had in red letters at the very bottom of it that this is not to be used for identification purposes. It was merely for the opt-in program of Social Security, such as a retirement fund, is sold to the people as. But it turns out to be more than, you know, a retirement fund. It turns out to be a tag on your name. It's your Social Security number is attached to everything, from health records to school records to criminal records. You know, the Social Security number is you got that number. Heck, you can literally steal somebody's identification. You could. You can get out all the information you want about them. And so where in that entire deal is the sovereignty, the freedom, you know, you're continuously being tracked, whether it be on paper or whatever. You know, God forbid they ever get around to saying we actually have to have a microchip in us. According to some of the things that I've heard out there about the Obamacare bill, it's actually in there that you have to have some sort of first or second or third class ID advice or device or something like that. I can't remember the exact
wording. Well, and here's the thing, okay? It all ties back to the money. Somebody controlling the money so that they can do with that supply as they want. Because, I mean, what do they say now about Social Security all the time? Every single time they look at the budget, they go, man, we got to cut this. Social Security, we got to cut it. We got to cut it. It's costing us so much. Yeah, how is the Social Security costing so much to pay to these people's benefits when they're not the ones paying the Social Security? If I pay my Social Security tax, why do they think they can take that Social Security tax and use it for some other tax, like a war tax or, you know, a bank subsidy tax? I didn't pay that money in there so bankers could have a free ride. I didn't pay that money in there so they could buy bombs to go over there and give to, you know, to terrorists to attack other countries and stir up trouble.
Yeah.
I put that money in there so that whenever I have to, whenever I'm too old to work, if I haven't saved up enough money, I can come back and get that money. So you're not, the government, you know, not you speaking to you, but I'm talking in third person to the government here. If you take my money to hold on to it for my retirement, you don't get to use it for something else. And you don't get to claim that it's not there for that purpose. But yet we're seeing that happen every day because it was just a scam, a Ponzi scheme, to get a bunch of money pulled up that they could dip into.
Yep, and that's exactly what they're doing, dipping into the piggy bank, you know. And now that things are, you know, getting worse and they've changed a few laws that kind of go around the whole Social Security issue from the get-go, those who didn't pay in will still get Social Security, and those who did pay in, by the time they get old enough to have Social Security, if you notice, you look back, they raised the, it used to be like 56, I think, was the retirement age, and then it went up to like 60, and now it's like at 70, you know, before too long, they'll say, well, you ain't getting it, period, so you might as well just keep working until you keel over.
Well, and this is the thing, though, too, man. You say those who didn't pay are getting some of that money, while those who paid aren't getting it. Why do you think they're giving it to the people who didn't pay?
To bankrupt the whole system, man.
No, they're giving it to them to buy votes.
Oh, well, that was the candy bar deal earlier.
Yeah, they're buying people candy bars with your money.
Yeah, there you go. Reached right in my wallet.
They're not gonna, if they run out, they're not going to replace that money. In fact, they're just going to go ahead and say that, you know, you got to give more. You got to keep working and put some more in.
But the thing is, man, you know, common sense, folks. Like, if I reached into to the fire and I burnt my finger the first time, why would I keep on sticking my finger in that fire, you know? You stub your toe on the coffee table. Next time you go around the coffee table, you keep your eyes on your feet and make sure that you don't bash your toe in the coffee table. So why are we keep on feeding the beast, you know? I understand that there's a lot of folks out there in need, and I know that the average Joe out there is pretty giving. And so those folks that's out there in need, they'll be taken care of if somebody knows they're in need, you know? I mean, there are exceptions to the rule. Some people are just so greedy, they don't care about that homeless guy sitting on the side. But
you've also got these homeless people that are, you know, there because nobody wants to help them because they were total jerks to everybody.
Well, there's a possibility there,
but
too.
But you're not going to let some, you know, little kid who's never done anyone harm just go without.
No.
Right? On the other hand, if you see somebody that's homeless on the side of the road and you remember that guy from, you know, 6 years ago robbing you at gunpoint and then bashing you over the head with a gun, are you really going to be willing to help that guy?
Well,
you know, if he's the guy that was running around knocking kids over and, you know, basically, you know, selling drugs to people and you know, kicking people in the head, and, you know, because he thought it was fun.
To put it into true perspective, if no one ever helps that person, Tom, they will never, ever get better.
Yeah, I would, you know, I understand what you're saying, and there are, you know, you got to...
You've got to put accountability on it, though. If you're going to help them, you got to let them know, look, we're only helking you...
Because we want you to grow.
We want you to grow. We'll not keep helping you. You know, yeah. This is. You got to give them. You know, look, this is your last chance.
Exactly. You know how many people I've gone out of my way to help, and I've actually already had one spit in my face. So you know, I know exactly what you're saying, but you know, I'd be willing to give them a smack over the back of the head and say, "Oi,
what you did there was pretty wrong, man. I didn't go out of my way to help you so you could do that. You know what I mean? And basically be prepared to help them again. Which seems stupid. Like, that's lining yourself up for failure, one might say. But I'm the bigger person, mate. I've done everything I can to try and help that person and turn them into a decent person. You know what I mean?
Well, if you don't give the accountability, you're going to basically teach them it's okay to do that. But if you put accountability on them, and, you know, I mean, if you're going to help them again, don't totally, like, just give them everything.
I agree with you. But
only what they need. Need with capital letters.
In this nation, right. I know for a fact, in other nations I'm pretty positive, that there's a lot of people in prison that done a lot of wrong things. But there's some of those people in prison that literally learn from their mistakes. However, because of, let's say they had a felony or whatever, they come up out of prison and, you know, they don't have the opportunity to get their life back up because the average Joe out there won't hire them because, you know, hey, I'm not going to hire an ex-felon. He might steal from me, you know. You didn't give that right. man an opportunity to redeem himself by working his way back, this, you know.
You know what the most important thing that's missing from this equation, why this keeps perpetrating? Empathy.
Yeah.
If you have empathy, people think, oh, you must be weak. You know, people can take advantage of you. No. Empathy is the ability to tell what somebody else is going through and who they really are emotionally. Empathy means that it's like telepathy, except that instead of reading thoughts, you're reading emotions. And you develop this through certain things that happen throughout your childhood and as you become an adult, and by exercising it, which makes you actually better at telling when somebody's conning you and when they're not.
Well, you know, we got to... Man, the job that lays before us is a huge one. I mean, it's astronomical. I was thinking about this yesterday, thinking about the whole trying to get books to Gaza thing. It's like trying to achieve the unachievable, because for me to get books into Gaza would, you know, I can't just send money there. I can't just ship books there. I got to go through connections over there in order to make sure that these books get to their intended person of need, you know, books and supplies. And so this is where from the ground up I try to make these connections across the globe, and we try to solve these issues, you know, from the bottom up. Our work is really seriously cut out for us in trying to steer this boat around. But I'm trying to point out that all hope isn't lost until the doggone ship is completely underwater. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're looking at a very insurmountable situation simply because you're looking at it from a single standpoint.
Yeah.
The more people who jump on that boat to solve that problem, the easier it's going to get. What is the term... The phrase is, many hands make a light of a heavy load.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we only put it out there, the end of last week's show. I've already got a crate load of books ready to go.
Well, I need...
So, we just need the... What's their name again, Shaziz?
Oh, I can't pronounce it. Hold on. Anyway, before I go there, I need a contact in Israel, I need a contact in the Gaza Strip, and I need a third-party mediator between these two individuals so that we can somehow or another get together and have some sort of conversation between the four of us so that we can make this happen, because, like you said, there's books ready to go, and there's books over there, I'm sure, ready to go, but between the red tape and the continuous battle between these folks over here, nothing's being done. Meanwhile, these kids are growing up, and they're growing up in a world of neglect and hatred. You know, get them these books. For Pete's sake, just get them the books. Get them the paper they need. I know they're in a war zone, and, you know, every time they turn around to get a school built up, somebody throws a rocket over there and damages the school, and we're back to square one again. But this is going to be a kind of a deal, you know. I got a raggedy old house, man. I finally got me a decent house across the way, and I still ain't got it totally situated. But in this raggedy old house, in order to keep my family sustained, I had to pick up a hammer and nail on many occasions, or a screwdriver, retighten this, nail this in or whatever, patch the roof, this is what we're going to have to do, patchworking from the ground up, in order to keep the system, we the people, afloat, while the system itself we watch collapse around us. Does that make any sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. And just while we're on the subject of looking for a third party, World Vision, don't you dare contact us. You still owe Ethiopia $30 billion.
They stole some money from a charity?
No, well, we have done the math on here before, haven't we?
Yeah, they should have. They should have.
There should be a lot more infrastructure there than the amount of money that is passed hands.
Well, and that's another thing that aggravates...
I'm just putting it out there that, you know, we are looking for a third party, but, you know...
That's another thing that aggravates me about, you know...
That we're not willing to accept.
when I see these advertisements on TV about starving children in the world, it really angers me, because I know that they say, well, at least 80 cents of every dollar will go to the intended person.
Yeah, the intended person's the guy at the top of the Ferrari, man.
Yeah, well, come on, man. We got the capabilities. Heck, we got UPS. We got Federal Express. We got capabilities of shipping these supplies in. And if the third party, what do you call them, pirates are in the way, then we put all this stuff in the backpacks of some army men and have them walk it in and hand it to them personally. You know, we have the capability to solve these problems of starvation around the world. Dig a trench, bring some water in there so they can grow. Teach them how to grow. Teach them how to filter water. Teach them everything that they need to survive. And these aren't beyond what we have access. These aren't beyond our technology. We could do this.
Yep, exactly. And like there is a lot of activity going on for this kind of thing. Like, we all know, I've discussed the whole cryptocurrency thing a dozen times. There's a coin out there at the moment called Noblecoin, which is 100, like, it's devoted to charity. It's sub to e-commerce, but its main point is charity, and they actually donated 100,000 of their coins to Virtual Labs. They have a project called the Water Project, which is to dig wells over in Africa. So, you know, you buy yourself a Bitcoin, go swap it over for some Noblecoin, you can donate directly to a fund that 100% of that money will be used in digging wells.
Yeah, and we talked about on the Mad Science Show about that pop boat deal that I figured out a way to pump water using heat, and so
exactly.
I get a video out for that to show people how that's done. There's a simple solution, you know, with a little campfire, you can use it to pump heat up out of a well, you know, pump water up out of the well, yep.
And free sourcing is the way that we have to go. who's watched enough Star Trek to explain the way that their like whole rule system works there, with like everyone being like equal and you know, either of you two up enough with that? Because I remember hearing it as a kid. I can't remember it, like, word for word enough to explain it. But, like, they speak about, you know, that the humanity realized that, you know, trying to harbor everything into a small few and you know, the small few getting rich was not the way to go. That everyone had to share their knowledge. And that is how the human race grew.
Yeah. You know? Otherwise, greed leads to war, and war leads to death and destruction. And, you know... We're on the precipice.
Well, Diadon, get in here, dude. You should add me to Skype. You know my name, just no space and add me to Skype, dude. Jump in. He's like, lol, me. Well, get in here and tell me, dude. Tell the world.
We have all the tools. We have all the technology to literally create a utopia, a heaven on earth, so to speak. And I keep saying, I know that sounds like a pipe dream, but to me, I still believe in the dream. I still believe it's possible. But it isn't going to be possible to create this unless we, the people, do it ourselves. It's going to be us that do it. Because the track record of the representation of the world, I mean, they got us teetering on the verge of World War III, arguing with this guy over about this piece of land, or arguing over these resources over there, you know, these folks fighting over their different religions or whatever. It's just a continuous, never-ending cycle of death and destruction and waste, fraud, abuse of epic proportions. until we, the average Joe, stop putting the power into the government's hands, saying, okay, in our name, you can go over and bomb this sovereign nation to keep them in line so that they don't come over and attack us. That's not what our military was set up to do. Our military was set up to protect us from a foreign invasion. Right now, we're being invaded from the inside out. We're being invaded from the outside in at the same time. We're being invaded by banking systems that are so freaking corrupt and government systems that are so corrupt that you can't get nothing accomplished, you know. The bank, too big to fail. So the government gives them our money. They end up being able to, at the same time, while they just got the bank bailout so that they wouldn't go bankrupt, they got to foreclose on the houses as well. So they got paid twice. They took our houses and they took our money, and we're sitting by and we're allowing them to do it.
Yep. Exactly. It comes back to the choice of feeding the beast or starving it.
Yeah. It's time to start starving the beast, you know? Put that beast on some chains.
I'm going to say it again. I said it the other day. Claim exempt. That just basically means you're saying, I'm taking responsibility for paying my taxes. Put that money in a bank account, dude, or, you know, in an investment or something with it to make more money with it. Don't blow it on partying. That way,
yep,
if the IRS does come a-knocking, you can whip out the tax books, get a tax lawyer, and, you know, basically pay them whatever it is you have to pay because you've still money. And if you made money off of it, you've got the excess still there sitting in your account instead of your company you work for having that money, because they do.
Yep.
They get interest off it, and then they keep the interest and pay the tax at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I'm speaking on interest.
They don't send it in. Every time you get a paycheck, they're not sending a check to the government.
Speaking on interest, I'd like to point something out on interest, because everybody knows and has probably heard of payday loans and bank loans and high interest rates. Well, the government is the worst on they're worse than a payday loan, because the interest rates on government loans, like if you get a higher education foundation school grant, if you don't pay that back immediately in full before it gains interest, that thing will literally kill you. I know personally that I paid over $13,000 for a $2,500 loan. And that's, you know, that's the government using your money, your taxpayer money, to go out and loan to other people and claiming interest on it. So there's where a lot of the surpluses come in up under the table that nobody even realizes, that your money, your tax money, is being lent out to other people, you know, and basically they're gaining interest on it as these loans are coming in. And so with that said, they're using your tax money to get money. And, you know, then whenever you're in need, they say, well, you know, you didn't work long enough, so we can't give you this. Really? You took all the money?
Well, exactly. Like I said, you claim exempt and take responsibility for your taxes. And if they don't come knocking for it, don't give it to them.
Yep. And
it's simple. Demand it, hang on to it, you know. You can do more good with that money than they will ever do with that in your name.
Well,
they're going to only do what they have to get your votes. You know, they're going to pocket.
You could call up the IRS and you could say, I need a copy of the tax laws, right? And they'll say, okay, well, it's going to cost you such and such for a copy, you know? And so you'll get this fat old bill, and if you are able to pay this fat old bill, then the next thing you know, you'll have this huge tractor trailer pull up and they'll start unloading volumes of the tax law. And so now it's up to you to weed through this tractor trailer load of tax laws to try to figure out where you stand. And that's why average Joe, when they go to file out their taxes, has to go to places like H&R Block or whatever in order to get their taxes done, because these folks have went through a bit of schooling and they're able to do taxes and they know a bit about the law, but however, they don't know everything about the law. These corporations out there have researchers that spend hours and hours and days researching every loophole under the sun, so they figured out ways by which they can get out of paying taxes, period. And you, the average Joe, if you don't pay your taxes, hey, suddenly there's a lien on your property. So that tax law in itself is a big part of that beast.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
check the taxes.
Oh yeah.
And there was an organization. There was an organization not too long ago that somebody pointed out to me where basically it was just a group of people that got together and said, you know, we're going to hire a couple tax lawyers. Everybody's going to throw a few dollars down on these guys, put a pretty retainer on them, and they're going to basically give us. They're going to dig through and get all the information they can to save us on every nickel and dime we can get. And they were coming up with all kinds of that information. Like, you could start, I think it was like 2 or 3 home businesses and let them fail. And they would essentially end up netting you the ability to basically claim like 90% of your home as a tax write-off.
Yep.
If you get hurt and you got medical expenses, you can claim all the money that you have to pay for your medical expenses, you can claim 100% of that.
Well,
so, I mean, if you had broke that year and it cost like, you know, $7,000 and you had to pay like $3,000 of that after your insurance had done paying for it, you can claim that all off on your taxes. But these people don't even know this, so they're not doing any of this.
Let's say we hold that thought and come back with take up where we left off and take a coffee break and nature break if need be.
Yeah, I believe that we're shortly going to be joined by a brand new Knight of the Round Table, so that will be exciting for everybody.
All right, well, welcome, new Knight. Okay, well, we're going to throw on a couple tunes here and take a quick breather, and then we'll be back. Carol, if you're out there listening, I hope that you decide to join in on the Knights of the Round Table, because it'd really be wonderful to talk to somebody who has your passion. Take care, everybody. Listen in. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your body from left to right, while you're free from the rock, I'll free. like a double rhyme double on the heavenly level. Bang the bass, turn up the double. Radical mind, day and night all the time. 7-14, fly the mind. Maniac, radiac, winning the game. I'm the lyrical Jesse James. Quality, I possess, don't say I'm fresh. When my voice don't screw the best off the mic, revolt that I am holding. Copywritten lyrics only guarantee slowing if they all snap. Don't need the police to try to save them. Your voice is sick, so please stay off my back or I will attack, and you don't want that.
everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table here on Shazia's Radio, Awake Radio, No Borders Radio, We Roar Radio, and many other networks but rebroadcast. Anyway, during the break, I had this kind of a thought going through my head, and so I'm going to go ahead and share this thought with you before I introduce who just came on here. I'll let Cultus introduce him. But anyway, everyone's heard of the United Nations. And so before anybody says off with the king's head and chops me up and throws me in the dungeon with one of those racks that stretch you out, I'm already 6'2". I don't need to be 8 or 9. So with that said, we need some sort of version like the United Nations, but not like the United Nations. We need a We the People style version of it, not one with any kind of arrest powers or any kind of legal powers or anything like that. We need the powers of We the People, of the things that we can do together, you know, a mutual agreement amongst one another that we're going to try to help our brothers and sisters out around the globe. So when I'm saying, you know, bringing us together like the Knights of the Round Table, we are seeking solutions to all kinds of problems. We're enacting these solutions, such as like virtual labs. You know, there's been a need for energy resources all over the world, and we are literally taking that to the next level, and we're bringing brilliant minds from all different nations together into one place to where we can solve these problems. We can vet the free energy devices out there, and we can literally make something happen out of this deal. At the same time, there's all kinds of things going on in the world that need to be addressed, such as in Gaza. I've been contacted by some folks in Gaza. The kids over there need school books and supplies and so on and so forth. And there's people all over in many different nations that need something. And so when I talk about bringing us under one umbrella, I'm not talking like as in a governmental style United Nations kind of thing. I'm talking about a Knights of the Round Table worldwide kind of thing, which essentially we've got already. But the thought had crossed my mind, you know, like I said, not one with any kind of legal or arrest powers or anything like that, but a group of like-minded individuals such as ourselves. And maybe the Knights of the Round Table is that first stepping stone towards bringing people together to solve problems. You know, hey, I got these resources over here in my shed. You've got some folks over there that need some of that. So let me, you know, ship that over to you or whatever. Somebody on the other side needs to be able to receive that and get it to the intended target. So with that said, you know, that's kind of the view, the vision of the Knights of the Round Table is to solve these problems, to stop feeding the beast that is eating us alive, literally. You know, no governments have ever solved anything. I mean, if you look at the track record, what have they solved? We still have starvation in the world. We still have sicknesses in the world. We have wars in the world, and probably new wars coming online. And so with that said, you, the average Joe, need to be empowered with information from your brothers and sisters around the world that you can use to survive when their system collapses in front of them. I'm not saying get up and start a violent revolt against the government. I'm saying let's get up and walk away from the table because the food that they're feeding us sucks. So, with that said, Cultus, would you like to introduce our new knight?
Yeah, I shall do. So, everyone, we are now joined by Dodden, who is also a free energy researcher. He's contacted me there a few times on Facebook, tried to ground me a couple of times, but you know what that's like for all Corby boys and girls. That ain't happening, is it, eh? So,
you have me on.
Eh? Thank you for having me on.
No worries. Well, welcome. You know, by coming on, that makes you a Knight of the Round Table. You see what I'm saying?
Do I get a sweet name like Lancelot or anything like that?
You are I just copied your ears, didn't I?
Yeah, tongue twister.
Like Dodden.
Yeah, there you go. Cool. So, how's it going?
It's going. It's cold. Yeah. Snow on the ground.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's ice now.
It's that god-awful global warming coming to get you,
melting.
Man.
Yeah. Well, we're in La Nina. It's global cooling right now, right? The polar vortex.
Yes.
there's always some name for it, right?
Yeah.
Watch out for that horrible white global warming that's affecting the planet at this moment in time, don't we?
So,
he just nailed it. Whenever the things started cooling down, they had to change the name to global climate change,
mm-hmm.
you know.
They're going to keep changing the name as long as they have to in order to keep people scared of, you know, something that they feel that they can basically keep these people and giving them money for and, you know, controlling their lives with.
Yeah, otherwise they're going to miss out on the gravy train, and they got to keep us, we the people, you know, a fear of our lives and the poor polar bears drowning, you know. Never mind the fact that polar bears can swim for miles and they got a really nice fur coat on that I'd like to share because I'm freezing my booty off over here during this global warming. Anyway, Cultus had mentioned that you're into alternative energy. What's your favorite portion there?
Oh man, I can't narrow it down to just one. I like to just explore, educate myself as much as I can. I kind of look at it like holistically, as far as like energy is kind of abundant through the universe, right? It doesn't, I mean, even material, what we consider to be matter is truly energy at a much lower vibrational level or frequency level. So,
oh, I agree.
That's how I look at it. So,
well, you came to the right place, brother, because that's exactly what Virtual Labs is going to do. We're going to not just pick one particular, like Bedini or you know, any of the other well-known deals. We're hydrogen, Tesla, everything under the sun, and we're going to take what we know from all these best technologies and, you know, put them together. So,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. I think, like most things, the only holdup is going to be a financial one, you know.
Well, we're kind of trying to
have dodged most of those bullets so far.
That's good.
It's cost me a little bit of money to pay our web developer, but he's a pretty awesome bloke, so I haven't had to pay him much. And you know, he's there, poor bloke. He drives around a lot in between particular jobs for his work. And while he's doing that, he's literally got one hand on the steering wheel, the other hand on the keyboard, cruising down the highway, tapping out code. So and he's done, as you see the website there, he's done a fantastic job for, like, you know, that sort of part time effort and keeping his mind together with it and not sort of losing track of where he's been at and all the rest of it. So I'm, you know, quite impressed and very, very proud of him for what he's managed to achieve there. You know,
a lot of work.
Yes, definitely.
And another good point to put out there was the fact that, you know, like Cultus and I and Muddy and whatever, we have resources that we can share. You know, maybe we don't always have the cash, but we might have that part sitting in our lab or something. And, hey, I'll post it over to you, brother. And then we can get things done that way. So it's a combined network of brilliant minds coming from all different nations to put this stuff out there to the public and show them what can be done.
Wow, I'm on board. Sounds good.
Great. We need all the people on board we got. We need all the brilliant minds, because like I was saying there earlier, you know, we talk about many subjects out there because there's all different types of needs out there in the world. But you know, we have capabilities, and you're not going to get any government, or if you think you can get through the red tape of any government system, then, you know, more power to you, brother. If you succeed, we're going to say, hey, that guy tackled the mountain, and he succeeded. Meantime, we're wasting time. What we could be actually accomplishing things by getting these devices put together, and Cultus is going to be putting together these static motors that he came across there, and he's actually going to pass a couple of those things out for some folks to be able to do some research on. And so, you know, with that said, there's another avenue, and you know, it's just so exciting because we're getting all these people. I don't know. Have you heard of Russ from RWG Research?
Oh yeah. That's actually how I learned about you guys is through him. So,
well, that guy, I mean, he does some incredible work. I love watching his things that he puts together because they're so well put together. You know, even though he recycles a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, there you go. There's some things in action. That's what the whole Knights of the Round Table is about. That's what Virtual Labs is about. And I believe we're on the right path. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think it's a good idea. The collection of minds is really what's going to progress our species, right, if you look at it as a whole. So, and if we look at technology holistically and don't just look at the individual things as, oh, this is mine, you know, I'm going to create ownership for this, or I'm going to patent this, and I'm going to make $1 million. If we don't do that so much, you know, there's more chance for progression into the future. So, especially for
for us, it's not about making money. For us, it's about that simple little concept of we are literally the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins, on down the line to our children and our children's children's future. And when I look into the eyes of my children, I want to know that whenever I leave this world, I left something good behind, a better world than what I had to contend with. Keep in mind, you know, my world ain't been all that bad. I've had some rough goes through my life, so I've had the average life like the average Joe out there. But I see the continuous deterioration of our society and the world as a whole, and I don't want my children growing up in a post-apocalyptic world, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is why I do it. Because I believe in the dream, and then I want to put the power in the hands of the people. And one of the biggest powers that you could give the people is free energy. You know, alternative energy, things that are not underneath the thumb of an electrical company. You know, they're talking on TV about how the power grid is such a in ragged shape, and it could go down, and it does go down now and then. But on the other hand, they're not backing guys like you and I who are out there doing the research and actually pushing this through so that we can have backups for backups, so that nobody has to freeze to death in the you know, winter when the power goes down. You know?
Well, in a hierarchical system, I mean, you have to go through the chain of command, and so there's, I can't remember what YouTube video it was, but a guy was doing a Tesla presentation and said, basically touched on the subjects of the two religions that are empowering the world, basically, and which will fail, you know, they're destined to fail, and those religions are the religion of money and the religion of authority. And they go hand in hand. It's like kind of like an ownership thing, and I don't see this panning out very well as it is. You know, if you look at it through perspective and get a big general picture of everything, it's not looking too pretty. But I completely agree with you guys and a lot of the things you've been saying and stuff like that. And I think that it's kindred spirits, right? This is meant to happen now, right?
Yeah. It's sort of a time of the coming together, isn't it? With the sort of awakening all together and finding each other and being like just happening to literally find each other, and we're just being drawn into it. And you know, like we find like week after week more people are coming into the chat room and getting on board. And I mean, this is sort of an inevitable, that we are going to wake up. You can't stay asleep and dream forever,
Well, you see,
can't dream forever either, I mean, eventually you're going to get the sads up and go, hang on, not working like that. Not working. We're changing this, and we're going to stand up. We're going to make a difference,
You see a little example of what you guys are talking about in every tragedy, no matter whether it be all the way back to, whatever war you want to mention, or whatever, 9/11 or any of the other things that's occurred in the world.
Even way back.
The average Joe is the one who usually gets there first. The average Joe is usually the one who will go out of his way to help a total stranger up off the street and into safety somewhere. So the average Joe has had the power all along, relying on the government or the system in it itself is, to me, a risky proposition, You could do something right now, right here, right now. You could do something, but you would say, oh, well, I better wait for the authorities to get here. Meanwhile, the clock is ticking on that poor individual, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's pretty deep-seated, I think, in humans in general, and in humanity, is the idea of ego and spirit. That's kind of our separation, our polarization, so to speak. And I agree with you. I think it's always the individual in the present moment that does anything that makes a lick of difference. So
yeah, we need to get that mindset on a worldwide basis to everyone out there. Brothers and sisters, it ain't worth jumping off that doggone bridge, because we need you just as much as you need us. So join us on the Knights of the Round Table. If you're feeling like life is stinks or whatever, and you think it's that bad that you got to go that route, you might be the next cure for cancer. I personally believe that we already got cures for every doggone disease under the sun, but that's a whole nother story to talk about, because you don't make no money if ain't nobody sick. You can't sell no bullets if ain't nobody at war. so on and so forth, and we could go down that rabbit hole forever, ever, and then I'd get on a rant, and we don't want that. So basically what I'm saying is we need to let people out there know that they are important. That guy laying underneath the bridge, he's important. You know, we need to help him up. You know, there's an extra hand in there.
Yeah, even just to recognize the connection that we all have, like you're saying, like, I mean, it's a... I look at it this way, like, it's everyone contributes thoughts to a greater thought, and then so on and so forth. Like, there's a fractal mathematics. I don't know if you've ever looked into that, but it's really interesting in how patterns repeat themselves on a micro and macroscopic scale, you know, in and out, you know, and just to get people to realize that, hey, you know, if I just do this, whatever I think becomes, you know, so if I can do this, I can, you know, make this for people and to give as an incentive rather than to take, you know, those kind of principles, I think is, you know, you can't force upon people. It's just an awareness thing, and just to even talk about it makes people think about it. And
that's why you start small. You said you nailed exactly. It. I think, and therefore it becomes that becomes that thinking though doesn't create things. It's the action on the thought. But if you don't have the thought in the first place, you can never create the action. You've got to have the thought first before you can actually act upon it. And that's why one of the things that I've been pushing for with another, movement that I've been working on, which is called the Rebel Consumer Alliance, is, you know, production. Learn how to do something, anything, even if it's just going out and buying a sheet metal hole punch for $30 and turning, like, you know, plastic bottle caps into buttons and stuff like that. That makes you no longer dependent on someone else to make those buttons. So if you need them, you can get them. If somebody you know needs them, it doesn't cost you anything to sit down for a moment and just knock one out, you know? And you're retracting yourself from the system of money so that you can basically lessen that religion you just spoke of earlier, that worship of money.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, ultimately, the money is supposed to be a way to make transactions less friction, to create less friction within them, to create a more frictionless economy. And unfortunately, it's become, with these politicians and the bankers and whatnot that are involved in there, it's like they basically, you've got an engine that you poured oil into it to get it to run more smoothly, and then these guys came along and jumped in there with a bunch of sand.
Yeah, I think Shaziz says it best, like, all the time. You know, you just have to do it. We just have to do it. You know, there's talking about it, but you have to bring a solution to the table and just have that solution. I think that you have a good point. Like,
well,
say, give a solution.
I'm a true guy, so I'm always going to come at it from that angle.
Yeah, there's no point sitting there waiting for your mate to stand up so you can follow him. You stand up and start walking and get him to follow you. Yeah.
While we're talking about solutions, I'm sitting here trying to tap out. I'm sure you can hear me in the background. I'm sitting here trying to tap out a message to Carol. We got to figure out a solution to get an actual hard phone line set up or something so we can.
Okay. Well, if you can get her phone number and she's in the U.S., I can call her. Dude.
Okay. Hold on. Hold on. Let me see if I get her number.
Done and done. Just make sure you pass it to me in private chat. Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, like I was saying, you know, it's not a case of waiting for the next bloke to stand up and walk and do it. You know, you have to be the one to stand up and start doing it because, you know, I've seen it firsthand in employment situations and even in these situations, you know, that the bulk problem is that everyone is afraid. They're afraid that if they stand up, then Obaz is going to stand up behind them and support them. So, you know, sometimes doing, and I've said this a million times, sometimes doing the right thing isn't necessarily the easiest thing to do, but to help with it, stand up and do the right thing, and others will follow your lead of example. Simple as that. You know, it has to begin somewhere, and why not with you?
All right, Cultus.
Things that are best worth doing are never easy.
Cultus, exactly. The phone number's in your other deal right there. Well, like
my
a bit.
Other deal?
Yeah, you're
good luck. Your personal chat.
Yeah, your personal chat. Anyway, sometimes I'm not the best for words, but, you know, sometimes I get on a roll, too. But
double-check that, Shaziz.
Yeah, I think I put it in the right one. Yeah, it's in. Oh, I didn't hit enter. Duh. All right. Oh, King Shaziz the Terrible rules with an iron fist.
That makes it hard to type, doesn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, guys, the whole thing is, it's just that. We the people, have the power, and it's time that we, the people, realize that we have the power. It's time that we, the people, realize that instead of calling the law on your brother, next-door neighbor, whatever, whose grass is too tall, go over there and see if there's some kind of problem, you know. Hey, brother, could I help you mow your grass or something like that? That's how problems get solved. You know, calling the law on them, suddenly now, hey, one of my neighbors called the law on me. I'm going to get even with them. I'm going to egg their house, and somebody else's house gets egged, and where does it stop, you know? It's kind of like that little story I told earlier about the two Palestinian girls and the man asking the Palestinian girls, do you want peace with Israel? And they said, we never want peace with Israel because they killed our mom and dad. Well, as long as that chain is not broken, those will be the future warriors that will kill some other child's mom and dad. And when does it stop? It won't stop until we, the people, actually intervene and say, hold on a second. Well, I know this is a tragedy, and I'm sorry, but we got to work our way through this. Otherwise, your children are going to go down the same road that you went down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we can't have that. Not if we want a decent future for people.
Here we go.
Conditioning type of thing, you know.
We just get you to kill the radio player there, please, Will.
This is you. Let me turn this volume down. I can't hardly hear you with this thing going. Okay.
You'll have to. You have to stop the radio player there. Yep.
How you doing there, Carl?
Hey, I'm doing fine.
Okay, hey,
how you doing?
Pretty good, and I'm really glad to hear from you. I know you got a passionate heart, and I watched your video yesterday, and you were talking about how you were a grandmother, and keep in mind, we're on radio, so, you know, you got a little excited in your video, but anyway, I just wanted to reach out to you because...
I've done radio before, so yeah, I know to keep it clean.
I just wanted to reach out to you because I could feel the passion in your heart as you're talking about, you know, we the people having the solutions, but we the people not doing that. And you're at the right place right now because it's exactly what we were talking about. If you were listening in, you probably heard some of what we were saying. But you were talking about a particular law. I think it was Act of 1871 that needed to be repealed, or was there the next one over that?
No, it was the 5 U.S.C. 7311.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
If anybody in government was more or less usurping the Constitution, if they were going against our form of government, then they could be ousted by that law. And I sent that law to every one of my politicians, the six congressmen and two senators, because Senator Rand Paul and Senator Mitch McConnell are always raising Cain about, you know, Obama and all this, you know, what he's done. Well, I called them up and gave them a way out. And they said they was going to send it to Washington, you know, and I said, hey, what's Washington's number? So I started calling all of these politicians for two and a half weeks, not only about the law that was giving them a way to get him out of office, but was about the chemtrails, the weather modification, what they call it, the fluoride, the everything, you know, that they're doing to us, the GMOs, the Fukushima power plant that there is no shutoff button, why they're not doing anything or couldn't or wouldn't rather do anything about it by building a sarcophagus on the top of it, you know, but there's no shutoff button. Why did they have a media blackout? Why didn't they warn the people, not just here in Kentucky, because this is worldwide? Why didn't they let us know so that we could have took our potassium iodide tablets, you know? Where did the our tax money go when they ended up buying the 14 million packets of potassium iodide and sent it ASAP to Virginia? Why did they do that? Well, they weren't answering any of these questions, and the more I called them, the more I was getting upset. Yeah,
they're not designed to know
how they were doing it, and they were just, you know, kicking the can down the road. What I figured out was that I think that, you know, the rumor is, you know, about the three nukes that went missing. Well, I discovered the other day where that other, the nuke that they blew up off the coast of South Carolina, well, it was speculated they were going to, you know, bomb America and all that with it. Well, this Jack Reed, who was a geologist, and he supposedly got murdered. I don't know if he did or not, but that's what the speculation is. He was a geologist for 35 years and something else along with that, but I can't remember because I made a video on it the other night. Three of them, in fact, and even put his obituary up as well. And it was speculated that he was murdered 6 weeks after he did the radio show. He was down in Louisiana, and he told about how 2 million people needed to be evacuated down along the coastal area because he knew that that's going to break off and fall into the Gulf of Mexico. And he had discovered another tectonic plate that veers and runs off to the east coast, up towards South Carolina. Well, it went up to Charleston. And so that tectonic plate is up there. He discovered this. And lo and behold, of all places in that ocean for them to set off that nuke is going to be on that tectonic plate that he discovered. So this is weakening the New Madrid Fault.
Well, and if the New Madrid Fault ever slipped, that would be a problem, definitely. You know, it's kind of ironic, though. I heard you talking about, the iodide pills or whatever. You know, there's a lot of purchase orders out there for ammunition, and to me, I don't see why the post office would need ammunition. So for those folks out there listening who think that a lot of this is conspiracy theory / you know, tinfoil hat kind of stuff, actually go out there and do some research. I don't never see a government purchasing something they don't intend on using. And so with that said, the average Joe, we're not wanting anybody to live in fear. What we're wanting to do is bring together brilliant minds from all over the world to keep their eyes peeled on all kinds of things. But at the same sense, let me give you guys an example, and this is coming from my own religious beliefs. You know, there's a Bible, and in the Bible, the story is told from the beginning to the end. Regardless of what you think of the Bible, this is just the way I'm going to explain this. In Revelations, it pretty much talks about doomsday and all this kind of stuff right there. And in Matthew, it talks about how no man knows the time or the day that he'll come to you like a thief in the night. Well, that's the same thing with the end of the world. Nobody knows when the end of the world is going to occur. So in the meantime, we got to solve problems that we know are already there so that the world just doesn't go totally down the rat hole, so to speak. I was about to say another word, but you guys see where I'm coming from? It's like, we got to, you know, we know all these things are going on, and we know that we got to hold these politicians' feet to the fire, but it's never going to happen until we the people do it. None of these problems out there, such as starvation and sickness and wars and all this other stuff, none of it is going to stop until we stop feeding that beast that's eating us alive. We've got to, from the ground level up, start taking care of one another first, start taking care of our neighbors across the water, and start taking care of the world as a whole, or it's never going to change. If we keep putting money in these individuals' hands, and we keep neglecting to research like the law that you passed on to the congressmen and the senators, then we're going to miss out on the only opportunities that we can to hold them at bay while we try to make the world a better place. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, the way things are set up right now, a lot of stagnation. You know, things just sit in bureaucracy and red tape. So the whole system itself is kind of busted, you know?
Yeah, like the books in Gaza, for instance. Cultists said you've got books on standby over there that they could get over there. I know there's probably books in Israel that they could get over there. But the red tape, the legalities in order, you can't just send money to Gaza. You can't just send books to Gaza. You have to go through the whole red tape system. And since they're battling back and forth amongst each other right now, getting anything done is not working. And so somehow or another, we've got to bring them to a version of what the Knights of the Round Table is. We got to get somebody from Gaza. We got to get somebody from Israel. We got to have a third-party mediator in there, plus the Knights of the Round Table, and talk to them the way that we're talking to one another. Because, as you guys can hear, you know, once in a while we don't agree on things, but we always do it respectfully, and we always come up with a solution to that problem. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think education is good, and having food over there and water. I mean, everybody needs food, shelter, water. That should be our premise for all of the people of the world, is just to have food, shelter, water above all things. And then the luxuries like energy, you know, energy actually can save you in some places too, like power.
Yeah.
Electrical power, and
those children in those zones, those are the true victims, because they're not the ones who are in the military fighting, but they're also learning hatred via all this kind of stuff going on.
Yep.
That perpetuates that they will be the next warriors to kill the next family's children, so on down the line, or the next parents of the next whatever. Either way, Carol, I'm so glad you called, because that particular law, at least probably 60 to 80, maybe even 90% of the average American hasn't got a clue about the law in the least. And if those kind of things right there, the governments are continuously putting roadblocks in front of us to keep us from succeeding, especially in the alternative energy community. I mean, there's so many different roadblocks and hurdles that we got to climb over in order to try to bring about solving the so-called energy crisis. So what we need to do, as we the people, is continuously throw roadblocks in front of them, so we can slow down this train wreck before it actually goes over the cliff and try to turn it around. You know, it's like I said, we are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins, and I'll repeat that as many times as it takes, because what we do today will define the world that our children live in tomorrow. And you, Carol, I know you've got some grandchildren. When you look into their eyes, you want them to grow up in a better world than the one that you've had to contend with. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. But I've also got a great-granddaughter.
Well, see, so there you go.
You know, I've got four generations here.
And,
you know,
and all these knights here have family as well.
Pardon me?
Go ahead. As I said, all these knights here have family as well. You know, we've got people that we love, friends across the globe, and, you know, that's why we're doing what we're doing. That's why we brought the Knights of the Round Table in existence, because we want a platform for people such as you and I to be able to come up here and point out what needs to be done, but not sit around and complain about it. Do something about it.
Exactly. Well, that's why I made my videos on the message to the politicians, that it had a plan, more or less, that people could take that and use it for themselves, for their own politicians. Call them. Do something. Go, you know, let them know that we are watching them. But yes, they work for us. That's where a lot of people, I think, are messing up. They're forgetting. They work for us. We pay their salary. But my video showed, when I called these people, in the beginning I was nice. When it got later, I wasn't so nice. And they were arrogant. They hung up on me. You know, a lot of this, and those people need to be kicked out of office.
Well, by definition,
just sweeps them on down the road.
By definition, they are literally violating their oaths of office, because if you took, let's just say, the Second Amendment, for example, the right to keep and bear arms, by definition, when they went into office, they swore an oath to serve and protect the United States Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And so any one of these congressmen literally go out there and vote yes on a bill that would basically take away any strength of the Second Amendment, they're in violation of their oaths of office, and people don't seem to understand that. They're willing to give up freedoms for safety. And of course, in the famous words of Thomas Jefferson, if my memory serves me correct, you know, if you don't, you know, protect your, if you basically sell out for security.
What you're trying to say is anyone who's willing to sacrifice freedom for safety will have neither.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. But they need to be reminded, all of these politicians, that they are usurping our Constitution. And that they can't, the penalty for that is getting hung, you know. And they seem to just wash over that. You know, they've gotten too high for their britches. They need to be reminded of that fact.
Well, keep in mind, we don't advocate hanging anybody, but we do have to get these guys out of the seat of power. And your neighbor,
I think she's just talking traditionally. I mean,
I understand.
Being a traitor to the state, look what happens to you. So, and yet these guys are doing just that, and they're getting away with it.
Exactly.
Not only are they suffering these consequences, but you know, they're actually just getting away with it and getting a fat pension in the process.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not advocating harm or anything of that nature. I'm just saying what the law says
And you're correct.
Implies.
You're correct.
And they need to be reminded of that. But they definitely need to be kicked down the road here because they're not doing their job for we the people. Well, and I think a lot of the men out there are not aware that in these chemtrails or the weather modification, I mean, I don't know how far y'all delved into that topic. I came across a report that was done in France of the lab testing. It was a full lab. And these have endocrine receptor, interrupters.
To back up what it is you're saying, it ceases to become a conspiracy theory when birds start dropping out of sky, when whales start dying off in masses, and birds and bees start disappearing. It ceases to be a conspiracy theory when you're physically seeing all this kind of stuff happening. Something's going on in nature that should not be going on in nature. When you put things like aluminum barium oxides, I can't even remember now, you know, I got so much information running through my head, but when you put that kind of stuff into the atmosphere and you got a flock of birds flying through that stuff, a bird's respiratory system is already working overload just to keep them wings flapping in the air, and so they suck in a bunch of this stuff out of the air, then suddenly they start dropping out of the sky. You know, I would drop out of sky too if I could fly and I suddenly sucked in all that could breathe, you know. But, you know,
exactly.
It's not a conspiracy theory when you start seeing these whales beaching themselves and fish dying off in masses and crabs and mutated looking jellyfish and all. It's all out there. The pictures are out there. You know, one could say, hey, you know, this is a natural occurrence, and the only reason why you even see this is because of the internet and access to media. But I disagree because, you know, I've seen bees, honeybees, out during what should have been wintertime. So I know that the natural cycle of what should be our weather patterns has changed. Now, I did a video back in 2011 called The Earth Tilted. Now, Earth has tilted. So it did change the weather. Plus, we were going through lunar cycles and solar cycles in conjunction with all that. And so that did give you crazy weather. But for anyone out there that thinks that there's not a way that you can manipulate the weather, go back and look at those portions where the military used cloud seeding during Vietnam, and farmers used to do cloud seeding during, you know, to try to, when a cloud come over, they put the silver iodide in the air, and it would cause the hydrogen and the oxygen to become heavier and finally drop into form of rain. So it's not science fiction, it's science fact. There are ways that you can manipulate. First, another little example would be a forest fire. If you've ever heard there's a forest fire and then suddenly there's these big gulfs of wind that come in there because of that forest fire, that's because that fire, the hotter it gets, is sucking air, more oxygen in it, which is creating a draft. And so suddenly now you've got these big winds that are created by that forest fire that literally start more fires down the road. You see where I'm coming from?
Well, you know, we're also getting sprayed with uranium, right?
Well, I don't know what they're actually spraying because I don't have access to the lab, so I can neither confirm nor deny. But what I do know is that I, as a child, and I look up into the sky and I see the contrails, they used to dissipate faster, but now it's a whole total different story. There's a constant haze, and I notice every morning when I get up, the grid pattern's always in the area where the sun's at. So it makes me question, you know, why is this occurring? And when you see flight patterns of airplanes, and they're zigzagging across the sky, crisscrossing each other, don't seem to be very safe, so the guys over there controlling the flight patterns of the planes must not be, they must be asleep on a job or something, because, you know, to me it looks kind of dangerous with all these, you know, I've even heard people say, well, this one's at a different altitude, and that one's from the ground, it just looks that way or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of ways to debunk everything.
I had some planes here about 2 weeks ago, I guess it was. Maybe three, I don't know. That would come over my house. I was sitting there with my computer in my lap, as always, and the planes kept going over my house, and I knew it was a big one. It's a C-130. And I grabbed the camera. I was uploading some stuff, and I disconnected to grab these planes, and he had black stuff coming out. This plane, I could have, you know, shot it. It was that close.
Well, without,
I put that up on YouTube, and you can see the black trails coming out the back end of it. I called the EPA here in my town to ask them, hey, you know, first I called the health department. I said, I want to know what they're spraying out this plane. They said, well, we don't know nothing about it. So they called the EPA. EPA is on the phone with me. They said, well, that's just where the oil mixture and... I said, you need to wake up.
Well, you know,
that is not what they're doing. And they had two of them out there doing the same thing.
Without taking us down
the whales you mentioned, pardon me?
Without taking us down the rabbit hole of the whole conspiracy deal, we all know conspiracies exist. That's neither here nor there. But how do we solve this? Right. We need people to actually, like, you got your camera out. When you see something like this happen, you get a doggone good picture of that. You document it. And the more documentations, I mean, they got thousands of cameras on us at any given time, so let's turn the cameras back on. And then that's happening out there. There's people getting a lot of pictures. And then there's all kinds of ways by which the mainstream media tells everybody, oh, well, you didn't see what you seen there. Don't pay no attention to the man behind the curtain kind of thing.
Exactly. Well, they just, you know, I think those of us that are awake, that there's enough of us now, and we can wake other people up, but I think it's to the point right now. I mean, we're looking at danger in the face here.
Oh,
we don't do something.
None of us agree with you, and that's...
If we don't do something...
Sorry, none of us disagree with you. We are heading down a path to sure destruction as humanity, and if we don't do what it is that we're doing right now, we want the Knights of the Round Table to grow. We want more people like yourselves and like Thomas, and I don't know how to pronounce your name there, brother, our newest knight on there. And
Dyden.
Yeah, Dyden. And Cultus, and now we have Dame Carol on here, and so, hey... you know, you could be a knight if you want, but Shannon made me clear that name. Anyway, yeah, old King Shaziz the Terrible is kind of goofy like that, but the whole thing is, by us doing what we're doing, we can make some sort of difference and actually get some things done with our network and back and forth amongst each other. We were talking earlier about how this virtual labs has the capability of doing something, and me and Cultus had a little deal a while back where we were trying to put a code together. I didn't know all the coding. I knew I had a piece of it. Cultus didn't know much about coding, but we had another friend who was online, and within 15 minutes we had this solved. We had the code situated and we were ready to go. That's just a tiny example of what could be accomplished by exactly what it is that we're doing here. Does anybody else have any thoughts on that?
Everyone could just take money out of the bank. There would be another You know what I mean? That's kind of a harsh thing to say. People are intrinsically against that. But you know, if you take your money out of the bank, the bank's no cease to.
Well, the problem.
Go to a credit union or something. You know, something more locally and
exactly.
small.
Something localized. Your
voice has more of an impact on them. Whenever you say, "Hey, I don't like what you're doing," then you know they're going to be more responsive and say, "Sure, okay, we'll do what you want us to do because you know you pay our bills."
The problem.
You take care of us.
The problem that lies in taking your money out of the bank is the fact that, you know, only so many people are going to get their money out of the bank. And so by everybody rushing the gun like that and taking their money out of the bank, you're going to collapse the system and create the havoc that you're trying to avoid. So incrementally, you start moving a dollar or two here, you know, into some sort of maybe a gold or silver or some sort of asset that you know is sustainable. And then eventually, you know, the banks slowly do what they were going to do to begin with, and that's, you know, go belly up. And
shrivel up, shrivel up and go away.
Yeah.
Instead of just collapsing and crushing everybody under them.
You'd want to make something more on a community scale first and have reliability to, you know.
Right. I think maybe I should, even if we just look at it as a model, I think I should point out something that's going on right now. It's an offshore bank. But, I mean, the guy, I think, has a really brilliant idea, and that's that you can actually store your money in resources. So, like, you know, you can deposit $1,600 today, right? And you can call your bank up and say, I want you to convert that into gold.
That's
so they'll
go out and
buy you, you know, whatever amount of gold they can get for that. And if the gold value goes up, of course, and you call them up and say, hey, I want you to liquidate that gold, you get the amount of money it's worth that day. You don't get the money that you put into it.
What about?
So if it went up, you get more money back out of it. If it goes down, you get less money out of it. But it becomes a tangible asset at that point, and you're kicking the money out of the system.
What about a we the people style piggy bank, you know?
Well, and that's just it. This is, you know, just one guy doing this idea. That doesn't mean that no one else can do it. That's why I said I think it's a great idea. I think it'd be even better if we would go, you know, with people who have less money, being able to say, you know, convert to copper. I mean, copper is much more useful than gold.
Well, are we the people?
So it's going to be a much higher demand. You know,
a we the people style bank is kind of like those credit unions out there. There's certain credit unions. I'm a member of a credit union. I got a little bank account with them, but they do their whole banking system a lot different than your average bank out there. And you, as far as I'm concerned, you're actually better off in a credit union as opposed to a bank. You know, either one could crash. You know, because they do loan money out to other people, but, you know, they do it differently at lower interest rates, and, you know, there's you just have to look into it.
It's a lot easier to tell what's going on, too. It's something more localized, so you'll know if it's going to crash, and you can maybe do something to try to help stop that from happening.
Yeah, but making a run on the bank is really not a solution at this point in the game, because running on the bank would cause the speedy version of the what we don't want to occur. We don't want no civil war in the United States. I mean, nobody could win that civil war on either side, because the damage that would be created, if you think back during the Civil War, very few people even fought in the Civil War. And so, with that said, nowadays, the average American citizen is armed to the teeth. You know, and so, you know, it would be this country immediately overnight turning into a third world scenario, and we would be no better off for it, and we wouldn't have won. Next thing you know, we're so weak that we're able to be overtaken by other nations that already don't like us. You know, if you're going to
idea is scarcity.
Yeah, if you're going to do something. Yeah. Proceed with common sense first. First, you know, like sending the letters out to the congressman. That's a first step, you know. That was a good thing that you did there, Carol. And telling your neighbors, you know, hey, go out there and photocopy some of these and have your neighbor send them. If you believe in what it is that we're trying to accomplish here, then mail it. If not, then, you know, pass the papers on somebody else who believes. But, you know, until we actually get up and do it, then it's not happening. Period.
Well, I tried to wake some neighbors up. All I got was a cussing.
Well,
so I kind of quit that.
He was
here for it.
I've got another example to give you that might benefit you in that particular cause, and I know it sounds kind of preaching, kind of whatever, but I had a friend who he found Jesus, and so he went down on a street corner and he's like yelling at the top of his lungs, trying to save everybody. You know, I want to save everybody. Tell them you're going to go to hell if you don't believe what I got to say. And I told him, I said, look, brother, I said, look, this isn't going to get you nowhere but beat up. Like, he did get beat up a couple of times by some carnies. I told him, I said, look, if you want to teach somebody something, you're not going to teach them anything by panicking or yelling. You just start living your life, and you lead by example. And when others look outside, from the outside looking in, they see how your life is going. They see what you're accomplishing. Hey, Carol just sent these letters to the congressman, and she did get some response back to them. So that's more than I got. Maybe they will follow a little bit easier. So basically, kind of like Grandma used to say, you get more bees with honey and that kind of jazz.
That's true, but I've got to correct you. Sorry, I didn't send letters. I called them all.
Well, there you go.
Because I felt that this was an emergency. It still is an emergency. We're being killed every day with these chemtrails, weather modification. When I came across that report from the French that had all listed, they couldn't even discover some of the stuff that's in those chemtrails. And I've had a cough for a year now, you know, and I worry about my great-grandchild. She's 2 years old. How's she supposed to get out and breathe this stuff?
Well, a lot of kids have asthma these days.
It smells like burnt plastic. Pardon me.
I say a lot more kids are coming down with asthma these days. There has to be something to it. Now, I know there's microscopic particles of rubber that come off of tires that could be partially responsible. Then there's the actual exhaust fumes out of vehicles with some of the chemicals that they actually put in gasoline these days. Because if you've ever looked at the plates on the doggone gas pump, it'll tell you can get regular unleaded, or you can go all the way up to premium unleaded, and some of them have cleaners in there. And so what the actual chemistry, I couldn't actually tell you, but I'm sure that some of the chemistry within that fuel is not necessarily healthy. So there are things out there that are creating problems as well. But
I'm trying to find, as you're saying that, I'm trying to find that report.
We need to sometimes we need to do work for others. Like, you know, you made the calls. Pass those phone numbers on to other people who are of like minded and have them make the calls as well. And keep passing the numbers around. Because
that's what I told them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did. And I put their phone numbers on the videos that I did so that they would take the lead, you know. Follow me, do something here, you know. Call them, put their feet to the flame, you know. But I can only lead the horse to the water, you know what I mean?
Well, and sometimes you're up against the wall as far as getting your video views out there, because a lot of the trashy videos will get promoted before your videos, and unless somehow or another you're able to reach out and touch a lot of people at one time, you don't get all the video views that you should have got. Like on some of the alternative energy devices that Cultus and I have put information out on, you know, we see guys with really trashy videos getting millions of hits and views on their stuff, where, you know, here's something that's beneficial, you know, a couple hundred, if maybe, you know, a year or so later down, it might even breach 1,000 or more. But either way, networking like we're doing right now, this is going to be the key. There's like Awake Radio, No Borders Radio, and all the other networks that we mention all the time. You know, these folks out here, we got friends in Australia, we got friends in Ireland, Scotland, Russia, Spain, all over the world, United States, and so there's things that they've noticed over there that's actually pointed out things that we missed in our own law. Some of those folks over there in the UK are more versed in the law than the American people, and that's kind of shameful. You know, the average Joe doesn't know the Constitution, but somebody clear across the world says, hey, you know, you guys got this right here. Why don't you use it? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, like Thomas is always saying, education is going to be the key. Anybody got any thoughts on it? Don't everybody jump to the microphone at once. I don't want anybody to chip a tooth.
Yeah, I don't think that using a monetary system is going to pan out. I don't think that's just my personal thought. And it's because it creates kind of like a predatory. I mean, if you look at patterns in nature, right, having money and ownership and in competition with each other for resources, that's really what it comes down to, right? To have that would create separation for everybody, so it makes it more difficult for all of us to come together and do things like this.
Well, Diadon, let me give you a quick analogy, and so I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. That's not what I'm saying, but here's the thing, you know. If you're driving down a road and there's something seriously wrong with your car, the very last thing you want to do is just, like, jump out the door and allow that car to, you know, fly on down the road, because you just created a big problem. And so with that said, you pull that car over and you slap a for sale sign on there as is for parts, and then you go on and you get you a better car. That's what we're talking about.
But we can't do that with the Earth. So instead, we got to pull over and look at the car and see what's wrong with it.
Let's go back to that money thing that you're kind of pushing on there, because it sounds like Venus Project talk there.
Yeah, well, there's one. Or
problem I'm seeing with that is that everybody's ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. The money is not the problem. Money is a tool. What it is? It's nothing more than a tool. The problem is we've got people using that tool. That's like, you know, I got a hammer. Let's do away with all hammers because old Joe is beating somebody up over the head with a hammer. No, let's take Joe out of the picture. Let's put him behind a wall of people, and don't let him hurt people anymore. We could take that hammer that he was just bashing in Jim's skull with, and we can still finish this house. Well, so everyone has some place to hide from the rain and the snow whenever it comes this winter. You know,
then you'd vote in ethical leaders, but then what happens?
We need to stop relying on leaders.
Yeah,
we're all leaders, is what I'm saying. I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
we are leaders, right? So
individually, no one.
And it does come down to education and teaching people, you know, what little piece of you have. But the real solutions. If you really want to look at solutions, then you would stop paying for things that have GMO in them, and, you know, try to
that's really easy to do.
You just look at what
You don't participate in people who are horrible people. You push them to the side, and eventually they'll figure it out. I got to stop being a horrible person, or no one's going to work with me, and I'll starve to death.
Well, so you do that on an individual level by becoming self-sustaining, and you start doing things like that.
Absolutely.
That's the only change that you'll ever see in the world is from yourself.
Well, that's the key, guys.
But now go back to what you said, though. Produce-cot. That means you boycott the horrible system by producing your own system, producing your own goods. You can't do everything. That's true. But you can do something. When you walk down the street and you see there's a problem, you go, man, somebody should do something about that. Hey, guy, guess what? You're somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you need a button. Learn how to make buttons. You need a zipper. Learn how to make zipper. If you need, you know, cloth, learn how to make cloth. Look for your friends and say, hey, I learned how to make cloth. Can you do me a favor and learn how to sew?
And the education's at our fingertips. Well, like with programs like this.
Renaissance era is in the internet. Let's pull it out.
Since we need
how to do things from the internet, put it in reality.
Since we need some sort of structure as far as not total anarchy, we do need to have some sort of governmental system, but not as it stands right now. Just a simple
computer.
A supplemental system to us being self-contained, to be, you know, we take care of ourselves, you know, we are self-reliant, we are self, what's the words I'm looking for, basically You take the responsibility on yourself that you're going to take care of yourself, you're going to take care of your family, and the very last thing that you do, and that's what most people do for the general part, is that, you know, they don't ask for nothing unless they're in such dire needs that they need something. But in that case, we help those brothers and sisters out, you know, by doing things like Thomas was mentioning. You know, you don't buy the GMOs, you go out there, you grow your own garden, and then your neighbor over there, he's growing lettuce while you're growing tomatoes, and you say, hey, you know, I got more tomatoes than I need, and I noticed you got a little bit more lettuce than you need. How about we do a little swap in there? You know, there's a little barter system going on there. There's one little tiny solution that's been there forever and a day. But instead of us taking the effort to actually build those gardens, we go out to the stores and we keep pumping that money into them, and they don't want to be held accountable for what kind of pesticides they have in that food or anything. So they're not going to label anything. They're just going to say, oh, this looks, look at all this shiny looking apple here. You know, this is, and they throw names on there like Tasty, you know.
Give them all that money so to keep from being accountable, they turn around and go to whatever entity that you've empowered to basically police that situation, and they give them a little bit of money to ignore them.
Yeah.
And they keep the rest for themselves. But they're still using the system against this. This comes down to, we need to get rid of our government as it is and reinstall it with a government voluntarism.
Yeah, there you go.
We need a government that doesn't rely on violence. What is that noise?
Somebody got their...
Somebody's mic feedback.
Yeah, we've got an echo through Leighton below.
I'll mute my mic and see if it's me.
No, it's not. I can see it happening on Skype. There we go. It's fixed now. Whatever was
okay.
That.
Yeah, we need to get away from the violence in the system. And it's as simple as looking at things this way. Look for the gun. Okay? We got a solution. Look for the gun in the solution. Is there a gun in the solution? If there's a gun in the solution, guess what? It's not a solution. Throw it away. And come up with something that doesn't have a gun.
A
gun is like a mind. It's a tool, right?
Yeah.
We teach people that, you know, use your mind as a tool. You know,
and that's the thing, though. You
instead of who you are. People mistake their mind for who they are instead of
saying
that, hey, my mind is not me. It's just a piece of me. It's just a tool I use. You know what I mean?
Right. Now listen, though. Okay, going back to the tool analogy, you don't use a sledgehammer to do brain surgery.
Nope.
So you can't use the gun to get peaceful results from things. You have to use peaceful tools to create peace. If you use violent tools to try to institute peaceful situations, you will create the opposite situation.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Create violence.
Well, pointing out laws such as what Carol pointed out earlier, that's an option. That's a tool that we can use in the meantime, you know. There's so many different ways by which we can actually make our situation down here better while we ride it out with the other deal. In the meantime, try to get this doggone boat steered off in a better direction than it's going on. So,
well, the big thing is to find out who's responsible for doing these things.
Well,
instead of let's regulate, let's find out who's doing it.
Yeah, follow the money trail.
Let's start a mass worldwide campaign and stop funding those people. Because if they don't have any funds, then they can't do it anymore. You know.
And that's the thing; these wars.
Funding them.
We.
Then somebody will just replace them if you continue to use the same means by what you got. You know.
But the trick is
using.
Then you stop funding them too. I mean, as soon as you see them doing something you don't like, we need education.
Yeah,
we need to know more about what's going on around us and be more aware and take more responsibility for being a part of this system.
Yeah,
by doing so, we will
people,
be able to stop this before they become a nightmare.
We are,
you know.
We the people. We the people are funding this. We pay for the wars.
We're allowing the Bilderberg Group, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers. Bill Gates, all these people play a hand.
Guess what I'm saying, though,
is
it's much deeper than that. It's much deeper than that. It's our conditioning, our environmental conditioning, how we've become this species. In particular, right now, we have nations, right? We're not thinking of the world, so to speak, if we're just thinking about America or Australia or England, you know, all the Western world or what we call the civilized world. You have to look at the conditioning.
Worldwide.
How have we become this species and this interaction with each other? You know, and
if we come together and try to solve problems on an individual basis, money wouldn't be the means. It would be more of giving, like just giving. That would be our currency. Why do we have to use a material thing to show our worth?
Well, that's where
our worth should really be within us. Like it's exploring yourself to find who you are, right? That's what everyone has to do.
That's where we were talking about with Virtual Labs. If I got resources over here and you need it, I'll just ship it over to you. You know, that's going to benefit the whole cause. And you got to get more people of that mindset that, you know, I don't always have to get something to give something. You know, it's kind of like that pay it forward thing, you know. I'm a firm believer. You know, you do that. You don't look at it as, you know, what am I going to get in return? You just do it out of the goodness of your heart. And sooner or later, you know, I say from my own personal religion again, you know, the good Lord don't always give you what you want, but always gives you what you need. And if you look back through your life, even in some of the worst portions of your life, you were in a bad predicament, yeah, but there was somebody around there willing to share a sandwich with you or something to drink, you know, or give you a coat or a shoe or something like that. And we need to get more people to that mindset, you know. And once we do this, we won't really have to rely on money. Money would just be a supplemental deal, like a supplemental government, something just to keep order. You know, we all agree that, you know, if this guy goes over there and kills somebody, we can't allow that. You know, we got to stop.
Yeah, but now we don't even need to make it so it's money represents that. We should just look at what it is, like a resource.
Yeah, exactly.
On a larger scale, I think that would be a better way to do it. But on a local scale, yeah, I think it'd be, like you say, it just, if you look at like a macrocosm of a structure and a microcosm, you know, that's kind of how you can look at society, like scientifically. If you look at close proximity to each other, having a resource-based economy is not necessarily going to work. It'd have to be more of like a gift-based economy, like give, and that's your merit. So even the most selfish people want to give, and the more they give, the better they are. You know, those are the real hard-driven type people that have the business mind, or however you want to call it, you know? But if you encourage gift on a local level, and that's your, you know, oh, that person, everybody knows him, he gives, that's all he does, you know, then we can have a different dynamic.
Well, I found that the best way to wake people up, if you want to use that particular terminology, is to point things out to them, walk away, and let them decide for themselves. You know, I could go into an epic rant of epic proportions on my neighbor and say, there's this secret society called the Illuminati, the Freemasons, and this and that, and I could go down the list of all the different conspiracies, and by the time that it's all said and done, I have that individual so overwhelmed, they think I'm a flat-out nutcase, and then when the doggone media gets on there and says, well, if anybody ever talks to you about this, then they're a conspiracy theory nutcase, a possible terrorist, and you don't want to listen to them. So I just give them the information, walk away, let them decide for themselves, just like in my own personal religious beliefs. I lead my life the way that I do, and if people from the outside look in and they say, hey, brother, I see that you're happy all the time. What's what gives here? You know, how do you do that? And then I share when they ask, you know. Otherwise, you know, you just can't ram this down to everybody's throat. You just got to try to put the information in front of them, let them make their own decision, and hopefully that they'll wake up too, and then they'll share that with their brothers and sisters. But we, people who we feel like we're already woke up, sort of enlightened in the world, we see everything that's going on. We can't stand idly by and wait for these guys to wake up, because in the meantime, the boat is still going over the cliff, so to speak, and if we don't put our feet on the brakes, then it all goes down. So, and now that we're here, we're obligated to, you know, make a decision. Do we keep going on with the Knights of the Round Table? Do we keep bringing more people on board? Keep talking common sense and finding solutions such as, you know, different currencies or different food sources, different alternative energy, and sharing this freely amongst each other without trying to, you know, get a patent or get rich or whatever like that. Because at the end of the day, borrowing Coltus's phrase, this is we're all in this boat together. And if they keep poking holes in the side of the boat and none of us are plugging holes in that boat, we're going down. And we're all going down as a community, as a world community. It's not just here in America that's going to suffer. If America collapses, it's other people out there who are reliant on some of the assistance that we've been giving them throughout the years or so. You know, other people might benefit because we're not over there, you know, freaking bombing them out or whatever. But regardless, worldwide, if something happens in your country, it affects my country as well. And so with that said, we're all in the same boat. When this boat goes down, we all go down together. And so somebody better start plugging holes. And that's what I believe that we do here on the Knights of the Round Table. We're plugging holes. We're offering a brother over there a sandwich or a shirt. You got a need on your side of the planet, call over here and I'll contact one of my contacts on this side. You see the power in that?
Yeah.
It's all we got. You know, you got your voice, Carol. You got your voice, and I felt the pain in your voice because you're sitting there, you're doing everything that you have at your disposal. You had access to the internet, you had some knowledge, you got out there and you was trying to show people, you was trying to wake them up, trying to get them to call their senators and congressmen. You didn't get no response, and some of the responses that you got were from irresponsible human beings that decided whether, as opposed to debating with you or talking out a solution or trying to convince you that, hey, look, you know, I see that it looks like this, but this is what I've researched, and you guys combine your research and come to a better decision. They chose to come in there and just cut you down, call you every name in the book, and not make any kind of solution. There's where the difference between the Knights of the Round Table and the average Jew out there is, that we take all these ideas that are coming in and we sort through everything with the research and the knowledge that we have combined, and we find results.
Right. Well, I did get one letter back, and that was from Senator Brett Guthrie. And it wasn't actually written, of course, by him, but it was just rhetoric. And then at the end of it, it was like a slap in the face because they brought up. It answered none of my questions, absolutely not one of them. And at the end, they said, well, the zombie apocalypse doesn't exist. I'm thinking, what?
Well, when people
go on my YouTube channel and go through all of my videos, never once in a phone call that I made to you people did I ever bring up zombies.
Well,
you know,
in reality, when you see people running around, naked men running up biting people on the face, you know, to me, if I was standing back looking at the picture from the outside, that kind of looked like some sort of zombie running up there biting people on the face. Now, there's a reason why he did it, whether it be he was on drugs or, you know, some other mental disorder or whatever.
Well,
to me,
can I jump in there?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to put Tom on the spot for a moment, because here I've discussed something that is right up this alley.
Is it toxoplasmosis?
That is zombie ants.
What
Monsanto's
right
up to.
Actually, so, what's more important is the fact that people keep confusing fiction and movies with reality. We've all seen Star Wars, am I right?
Yeah.
Right.
You've seen a laser blaster, right? When is the last time you saw a laser pointer or any kind of laser that looked like that whenever you fired it off? The reality is, it's never as brilliant, as fantastic, or as fabulous looking in reality as it is in the movie.
Right.
So the zombie apocalypse, if we do have one, is not going to look like what they've been selling us. We already have a zombie apocalypse in the digital area. We have people walking around staring at their phones, completely zoned out, paying only attention to their phones.
And getting hit
by
cars.
There's not one zombie apocalypse. Right, exactly. Or crashing because they're too busy messing with their phone. It's because they're basically being controlled mentally by this device. They have given their willpower over to it. I mean, what do you really need in order to call this a zombie apocalypse, if that's what you're worried about, Senator, or whatever your name is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So
you call it.
Well,
what you
want. I know this with my own grandchildren, you know, that freaks me out is they seem to not have any reasoning skills. They don't think.
Mm-hmm.
They do not think.
They're not
and
taught
it. Not zombie. I don't know what is.
Right, that's what
because
they're taught. There's your zombie. There's another aspect of the zombie apocalypse. What are our children being taught? How are they basically having their ability to think
drained from them so that they can't properly process data and information. That's essentially what zombies are in the movie, is they don't process and reason properly. They just go for the kill. They go for what they feel the hunger or the need for. There's no thinking, you know. And I probably should rein back in and go with what cultists initially wanted to talk about, and that is that in South America, there is a discovery some time ago, I guess it was, about 2 years ago, that they found a fungus that essentially invades an ant, and it kills the ant, but it continues to manipulate the ant from its nervous system. And, I mean, it has a very specific goal, a very specific purpose, and ends up leading the ant to a specific location so that it can fruit and replicate. And, you know, this isn't the only thing we've seen, but, I mean, this one really has some terrible, terrible significance in this situation, and that is the fact that there are researchers right now working on how to genetically modify that so they can use it as a pesticide. And when's the last time you saw somebody genetically modify something and it turned out how they wanted it to work out? Mm-hmm. Once you break the genetic code, it's going to keep rearranging until it finally comes to a stable point, and you don't know what you're going to get out of all those different rearrangements.
Yeah, you can't tamper with nature.
Now, here's another little critical issue, and that is the fact that the fungus itself is already capable of making genetic jumps in the insect world that look, if you were to compare them to the mammalian world, that would be like jumping from a mouse to a human being and a whale.
Mm.
So if you tamper with that...
This sounds like Cynthia.
What's that?
This sounds like Cynthia, nanotechnology, whatever.
Well, there's all kinds of things going on like that, and I keep saying this: you can't tamper with nature and get a good result. You know, we have responsibilities to, like the Food and Drug Administration. There was things out there called saccharin. There were things out there. There's aspartame. These, for some reason, made it through the Food and Drug Administration. We, the people, had no idea because we made the bad mistake of trusting that these individuals were educated enough to know that there was enough research done before they put this on the market that people wouldn't be having side effects. You know, when they put a drug out there on TV and they say, these are all the list of possible side effects, like just for, you know, crazy sake or whatever, for impotence or whatever, take this drug right here if your doctor says that you are okay to have sex, but there's possible side effects, not excluding death. Dude, I'd rather do without than have the death portion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, and the system that people are willing to sacrifice and take the chance with the death is definitely a problem there too, you know?
Yeah, well, it's going to have to come down to a matter of we're going to have to start paying attention. You're going to have to start knowing the laws, like the law that you pointed out to get a corrupt politician out of office. That is one of the tools that we need. We need more researchers. We need them coming to the table. We need them pointing these things out. And we actually need people to, like Carol was saying, get up off the couch and just do it, you know. The house don't get built until I pick up a hammer and you pick up a nail, you know. It don't build itself.
Exactly. Hey, I ran across this paper. It lists some of these things they're spraying us with. Would y'all be interested in hearing some of them?
Well, for the moment, I just let my dog out, but for the moment, we're getting down to the wire. If you have a link to that paper, send it into the chat right there, or basically, we can post that link to everybody.
I hand wrote this off of a report that I've seen online.
Well, if you have an opportunity to scan it, we can post it for you.
Yeah, I was going to say, anything on research, the most important thing is citation. We need to know who said what.
Yeah, and
I've got that. But I'll have to rehand write this because it's kind of sloppily written. I was freezing the screen and writing and freezing the screen and writing.
Well, Well, I would really love to hear that, and I'd like to offer you to remain as one of the knights of the round table or dames of the round table to keep Shannon happy. I would like to invite you to join us next Sunday, and if you got more information that needs to be said, or if you got friends out there that you think need to be heard, bring them here. Now, keep in mind, we're not all about the conspiracy. We're about the solutions to the conspiracy. We're about fixing the problems.
Yeah.
You know, because
right.
we can
right.
sit around and complain and cry and, you know, about the whole situation, or we can actually get up and do something, and that's what we're doing. You know, Cultus and I are doing our portion. We're putting virtual labs together, so we will get that alternative energy thing out there to the public. But it would have never got right. done had we not pick up the hammer and nail, so to speak. But since we're getting down to the wire,
I would be remiss if I did not make mention, if I may. Are y'all aware that this Fukushima is 78,000 times worse than Chernobyl ever thought of being?
Well,
that we're being hit with unbelievable amounts of uranium, plutonium, cesium 134, 137, tritium. All this stuff, we're getting hit with this 24/7.
And
there is no shut off.
And that's something we need to get to the bottom of, but we're coming down to the wire. And so before, what we got a deal that we do here at the Knights of the Round Table is where we go around the table and we let everybody have their last word before we end the show. So with that said, since you're already there, and keep in mind, everybody, we're down to the wire, so try to keep it brief. And you know, if you got a YouTube channel and you don't want people to check it out, say your YouTube channel on there, whatever. But, Carol, since you're our newest dame of the round table, we'll let you go first and work our way around the table. How's that sound, folks?
And ladies first.
Thank you all very much. Hey, I'll just keep it short. Check me out on YouTube. It's Weeping Willow 2, numerical number 2. And Weeping is spelled Weeping, numerical number 2. And if you want to send me an email, it's just add on to yahoo.com. I'm mostly about workers' comp. I've been an advocate for injured workers for going on 14 years. I've studied law for nearly 14 years. In that realm, I can help injured workers, so give me a call at 270-922-0936. That is my workers' hotline for any injured worker. It doesn't matter what state you're in. And we'll talk next weekend on the Fukushima if y'all want to.
Great deal.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you very much for joining us. And I hope that after the video that I watched, you feel a little bit better about the world. So, there are people out here just like you that's trying to do. And so, I can't pronounce his name again. Our newest knight on there. Sorry about that, brother.
The A is silent. That's Dido.
Okay. Well, Dido, you want to go ahead?
I just want to say thank you for having me come on. I'd like to talk more about Coulomb, the atmospheric electricity, that experiment that you guys are going to start doing once you get a hold of a 3D printer or whatever. And I have some resources like that here, but I got to join a place that, down in the big city to do 3D prints and, CNC machine stuff. But see what else. I'm really looking forward to I'm honored to have this opportunity to be here to learn, because that's really what I think it's all about. It's just learning, and so you can listen to everybody has their own perspective, and so
here we share our perspectives respect for one another. We don't always agree, but we always agree to disagree in a respectful manner. And with that said, the invitation for you to remain as a knight of the round table is there as well. And if you got friends out there who, if they believe in the cause and they want to join in with us, hey, the more the merrier. If we have to expand Skype, so be it. We'll do what we got to do. We may have to have a waiting line for the knights to come in or something, but this is growing, and it's only going to grow when we make it grow, and we're only going to make a difference when you know, we do just that. We make the difference.
All right, Tom.
Sorry.
You got a YouTube channel?
Yeah.
Do you have a link people can go to real quick?
Which of us are you talking to?
You mean you can look me up on YouTube or whatever. That's pretty much it.
Well, tell everybody your YouTube.
I don't know the link. I'll pop it up.
We'll worry about it. Great. All right, Thomas, go.
You can find me on YouTube under Morph Trust, the username Morph Trust, MORPH, like Morpheus. Just drop the is and trust, like I trust you, you know, or a financial trust or whatever. TRUST, MORPH, TRUST. Or you can find me over at BorgSteamFactory.com. Just like the the sci-fi Borg from Star Trek, steam like hot, you know, hot water turns to steam, and factory, you know, you manufacture things.
Alrighty, Doug, have you got any last words, mate, real quick?
We're down to the wire, brother.
Alrighty, I'm gonna go. Dame Shannon would like to
pop. Can I pop in one last thing?
Yeah, we just got
my
couple.
Channel is R-rated.
It's R-rated, roger that. Alrighty.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Go ahead, Cultus.
Dame Shannon would like a last word for the day to be that she loves us all.
We love her,
and
too.
Have everyone in the world pray for those, and as I said earlier on, for those of you who don't pray, put the positive energy out there for all the people in the world who are in pain. And her YouTube channel is Creativity SG. She's an artist and also starting to get into alternative energy and some science stuff, so you might want to pop over there and have a look. And real quick, myself, you can come and find me, all my links at Cultus, Kultus dot Weebly, which is Weebly.com. Alrighty, with that said, we'll be good. We'll speak to you next week. Peace and love to you all, and back to you.
Alright, to the next host, I apologize, the Knights went running over again, so with that said, I'm going to quickly say that thanks to all the honorable Knights of the Round Table, and thanks to all the listeners out there. If you want to find Shaziz, just Google it. You'll find me all over the place. So peace and love, everybody. Take care. And stay tuned for the next Knights of the Round Table.
Man. Sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, Just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red knights are around the table, green knights when we're able. We'll routine to call the scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red knights are around the table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible, and the knights of the round table.